What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woo!
Brought to you by Good Game St. James.
Now in Cannington.
Like Nelson Mandela sobbing on Robben Island in 1990, it's time for a pre-release breakdown. Cards more mythically rare than a steak still in the cow. More uncommon than a dual-lane motorway bereft of wombles, yet not quite as common as Kian's inbred cousins. We're asking, has Eugene finally cured the bane of batwings? By having feathers? Or does he just wear tidy trousers? Only today on Seven Land Hand.
Or tonight.
Yeah, or tonight. Whenever you're listening. Today, I'm joined by son of the Archfiend of Depravity, Kian de Vries Tournel.
Yeah, my dad's a jerk.
Right. And reality-shifting Riley Everts.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. How are we, gentlemen?
Yeah, all right. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. How's your day, Ken? How's that panned out?
Oh, man. I mean, I am feeling
looking,
a lot better now.
Worn.
I am looking a lot better now, because now I'm a 5'3", and Riley's a 2'2", so I'm
you're
clearly
a lot
superior.
Than 5'3".
Yeah, we'll go with that.
What do you mean by you're a 5'3", and...
The Archfiend of Depravity is a 5'3 flyer.
Oh, but you're his son. You're obviously a 1-1 at best right now.
At best.
It's a 1-1 soldier token.
Yeah.
Not, no, monk token or something.
I'm picturing like that dragon whelp.
What were those frogs?
Just frogs.
Frogs. 1-1s?
Yeah.
There's a 1-1 frog somewhere?
Yeah. That would suit you, wouldn't it?
Well, it's polymorphist jest and stuff, isn't it?
I thought there was
turned
a 3-3.
Yeah, turn a frog.
Turn a frog.
Yeah, turn a frog turns it into a 3-3.
Are you not thinking of...
Oh, Pongify. Yep.
Pongify, yeah, yep. That's the one.
I'm good at this.
Or
okay, more Batrachian conversation later.
Whoa, drop Batrachian in!
Lovecraft word for frog-like.
Oh, that's one for you.
Yes.
I don't know what this
when the
game
quiz comes up
is.
Later on, I'm one in front.
Oh, God.
Brilliant. So, today I had a horrifying moment in the bathroom.
Are you sure it's... Story we're going
to
hear.
Oh, what, you worried that it's not going to be appropriate for Seven Land Hand?
Well,
I had my Batman t-shirt on, and as
in
I
the
was
bathroom.
About to evacuate my bladder, I looked over into the mirror
in
and
the
noticed
bathroom.
I was wearing Marvel undies.
Oh, mixing genres, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I immediately panicked,
well,
ran out, changed to Lovecraft t-shirt.
So then I thought,
you know, Batman is obviously the best superhero. But Marvel is kind of better. Because the DC kind of fuck up everything else, don't they? The Superman, rubbish. Not interested in Wonder Woman. Anyone?
I mean, in terms of the movies, like...
Oh, yeah, well, Marvel's got it down.
I mean, someone was like, oh, yeah, there's been, like, 22 Marvel movies now. And I'm like, what? Why are we still watching them? Every single one is amazing.
Well, we can look forward to the reload of Batman.
Every single one being amazing, Kian. They keep making them, and people keep watching them. That doesn't mean that they're amazing.
They're all pretty enjoyable.
Oh, okay. Enjoyable is not the same as amazing, though. I mean, Winter Soldier was something people would watch, but it's not.
I really enjoyed that.
Everyone's highly praised.
Really?
Yeah,
well, they're all wrong.
This is why Riley's on board.
Riley's putting the foot down.
Set it straight.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to blob and get into a Buster Booster?
Buster Booster.
All right.
Buster Booster!
Bam, 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 damn!
Yeah!
Buster and a Booster! Woo!
We've got a Fate Reforged Booster here that Missing in Action Aaron picked for us earlier on. So that'd be exciting. He promised that there'd be a foil Eugene. In your kit, in Ken.
You said Eugene. It was the best booster that the shop had, so...
Yeah, are you wanting me to strangle you, Dave?
Was that Eugene? I mean, Kian.
It's Ugin.
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 Who ever heard of anyone called Ugin?
I would definitely name my son's middle name
would
Ugin.
You? Right, very good.
And then I'd be like, Anthony, you are never allowed to call this man not Ugin.
Something I might have touched on in the intro. Have you noticed that Eugene has feathers for wings?
He's a dragon.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He's a dragon.
Let's whip out
he's
the book.
He's a dragon.
So?
With feathers in his wings.
That's fine.
When does that happen?
What kind of feathers? I mean, they're like spirity feathers, aren't they? I mean, he's a spirit dragon. I don't know if they're...
No, but what...
They don't look very feathery.
If you have proper bat wings,
yeah,
but big ones like dragon wings, and you die, what, you come back and you get feathers?
Well, maybe...
But
they
like,
were,
all the
maybe
feathers are like
that.
The size of a... You know, I don't know how tall Ugin is. I'm going to say, like, a building.
He's at least, like, 6 foot.
Yeah.
He's
between 6 and 7 foot, I think. Yeah. That's locked in.
Look at Colligan. Colligan the Storm's Fury also has feathers.
That doesn't make it right. What is going on?
I mean, to be fair, the goblins in this set have fur. Like, I have more of an issue with that than with dragons with feathers.
So they haven't shaved for a while, Kian.
No. They have fur. They look like monkeys.
Oh. That is something. I'll have to look into that. In maybe two MTG episodes, not the next MTG episode, but the one after that, Madison Jones coming in. Review some artwork. Yeah. Ooh, then we'll bring back the Eugene with the bloody feather wings rubbish.
Well, yeah,
what are you guys looking at?
Mardu Scout, a goblin with fur.
He's got hair, kid. He's got hair. He's got hairy arms. That's a small chimp.
You can't see any skin. You can only see hair. That's
not true.
It's like you're saying these words, and I'm looking over at Riley, and there's no difference between the words you're saying and what I'm seeing sitting before me. Are you some kind of goblin, Riley?
I
have you ever been referred to as a goblin?
Hobbit.
Hobbit.
Not goblin. Not goblin.
Somehow that's crueler these days, isn't it? How'd that happen?
Well, if people call you a hobbit, we'll see if you think it's cool. I don't know.
It's probably not likely to happen.
We're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
I have incredible feet, though. They look like rugs. That's not true, listeners. Please think fondly of my feet when you're drifting off to sleep tonight. All right, look, this is ridiculous. We've got Fate Reforged with the horny woman on the front who's off a card that... What's
Temporal Trespass.
Thanks, Kian.
Oh, it's coming.
Right. First card in the pack is Sultai Runemark, which is a 2 and a swamp for an enchantment. Enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +2/+2. Enchant creature has death touch as long as you control a green or blue permanent. Sultai, huh? What do I reckon of that? Like, I should introduce Riley as you're more of a commander/modern type player, aren't you?
Oh, I'm completely casual.
Completely casual.
In every sense of the word.
So, yeah, most of your opinions might come from that kind of angle. And, Kian, if you're going from a drafting perspective, how does this one pan out?
So, this enchantment is bad. And this entire cycle is bad. Now,
what is the cycle called? Is it?
It's just a rune mark cycle. There's one for each clan.
Yeah.
There are two to take notice of. So, the... blue one, which gives flying. And obviously flying is basically the best keyword because it's the closest to unblockable. Yeah. And, you know, if you're giving your, like, 4/4 +2/+2 in flying, then, you know, it's a huge stinking dragon and that's
amazing.
I'm
always attracted to death touch, though. But more for that defensive 1/1 that just sticks there. And
oh, you and your Sedge Scorpion.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy is all over the place.
Ah, man, memories. I'm looking up into the skies right now. Just flooding back. Feelings of joy.
Typhoid Rats is in the set, Rats. Dave.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I was excited about that. That was cool. If that card was in the previous set, more chance of me of kicking off because I've missed this now and I feel like I can't go back into the set and start drafting. Because I didn't play the first release.
Oh, okay.
You know, I didn't play Khans, so now there's just everyone's a genius at that and knows what to get. Anyway.
I'll draft with you, Dave. We'll be as rubbish as each other.
Brilliant. So this card, no good. I'll just move my keys out of the way, listeners. So this is going in there.
It's not exciting.
Exciting.
The most exciting thing about it is the art. It looks cool.
Yeah,
the art is pretty cool.
I'll play that.
But
wait 2 months for Madison Jones to come in and discuss art.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right. So, not even any... You get better enchantments in other
releases.
I would never,
ever show up in anything.
In any format.
Yeah.
All right. The second card we've got is Grim Contest, which is one...
Ah, butt fight.
A swamp and a forest. Is this another Creature for Christ feature? Anyway, instant. Choose target creature you control and target creature an opponent controls. Each of those creatures deals damage equal to its toughness to the other. So it's toughness.
It's a butt fight.
It is. So they back into each other or
fall
over each other's shields sort of thing.
I can't remember who made the joke, but they were basically like, so Kim Kardashian kills Emerald.
Right. Yeah. Is that getting play?
This card's really good. It's not first pickable by any means, but it's premium removal in those colors because those colors is either Abzan or Sultai.
And they have big toughness, lots of walls?
Yeah. The 2/8.
You're talking to me like I know. I haven't really looked through this yet. That's why you're in the room, Kim.
It's in Khans. Archer's Parapet, a 2-mana 0/5.
We're talking about that.
There's all these high toughness creatures. And, you know, you've got like there's a lot of like 3/5s or 4/5s in this set.
Yeah.
And suddenly your 4/5 kills their 4/4.
Yeah.
And it just... And you can do it in combat, like it's instant, you can do it during their turn. If they try and play Saltai Runemark on their dude, you're like, nah, let's butt fight.
Traditionally, though, blue has a lot of walls, right?
Sometimes.
Is that consistent with what's happening in Khans and Fate Reforged, or is it across the board?
I think most things have walls, don't they?
No, yeah,
like
but...
White, blue, and green do.
Black as well.
And black.
Blue typically has had the walls because they're like, oh, you know, we're all mystic and stuff. Whereas in this set, blue is all like, I'm going to kill you because I'm a monk and, ninja.
So we're really backing into the massive green creatures that can smack you with the toughness as well as showing off with their power later on. So that's not bad. That's
from
like mid-range.
Perspective, Doran the Siege Tower, that guy wants that card. That's a good card.
Yeah. All right, pressure point. This is a cool-looking picture as well.
Oh, this card is
looking
sweet.
Forward to talking about this from Madison. Pressure point is one and a planes for an instant. Tap target creature and draw a card. Oh, that seems good value.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
This triggers prowess in all the right ways. Mm. It's just, oh. Because, like, in those prowess decks, you're going to have, like, 12 creatures and, like, 8 to 10 tricks.
Yeah.
And if every single one of your tricks cantrips, your deck is just... Just cycling through, and every single time, your entire team is getting buffed, and you're saying, bugger off to their biggest blocker, and it's just like, this card is just so good. There's another one that's the exact opposite.
Advantage,
exactly.
Which is huge as well, isn't it? What would you normally pay for a card? What's the cost of a card, usually?
Cantrip is like...
To draw one.
Yeah.
Two.
So,
it's on... It's on curve.
But the tap attack creature, like Keen's saying, you're taking somebody else out and your guys get tougher while. So you can almost race to catch up to that tough guy of theirs.
Yeah, that's right. Refocus. But you never want to be casting this without a board. If you're casting this without a board to not die, you've already lost that game.
Yeah, things aren't going well in that case.
And there'll be corner cases, but like if you don't have anything on the board and you cast this spell, you're probably doing it wrong. Where you want to cast this spell is when you've got like a Jeskai Sage. And a Jeskai Wind Scout and some other random prowess dude, and you're like, man, this is a 2-mana spell that gives my team +3/+3, and
this is a prowess. This is a prowess card. You haven't got prowess cards, don't play pressure point.
Pretty much.
All right, cool. Now I'm glad the next card's come up because I got excited when I saw this. Not because it's a big woofy card. I just thought here comes value, and so I was looking forward to discussing it with you guys. It's Aven Skirmisher. One planes for a flying 1/1. Now, how can that be wrong? That's got to be a good strong card to grab, hasn't it?
I think this people were playing it a lot at the pre-release, weren't they? People really like that card. Yeah. 1/1 flyer for one.
Admiral Akbar has some words for you.
It's a trap, isn't it?
It is such a trap.
How is this a trap?
Is it something like
Death
Star?
I thought this was
rock
solid.
But look at that flavor text. It's got so much flavor text.
It does have so much flavor text.
How could it be bad?
Keep that in the pack, Dave. That's important.
All right, whatever. That's the Windsguard, Craig.
Aven's Skirmisher, like, so the card looks attractive, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a 1-mana, 1/1.
Yeah, first drop, bang, you've got someone that can fly across there. No one's touching it until they can do something about reach or something about having a flyer of their own. Brilliant.
So it's probably getting in for 3, maybe 4 damage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. What happens when you draw it on turn 7?
Yes, that's true.
Well, then you have a 1/1 flyer that...
Yeah,
doesn't
you can
do
draw
anything.
A card with off of recoil or
so like,
whatever it is.
The one drops that I want to be playing in this set are like Typhoid Rats or the Mardu dude that can get Death Touch. Like they are high impact. They do something no matter when you draw them.
Yeah,
and especially in a set with morphs, like you cannot actually expect to play this card and then race with it when half your opponent's deck is going to be, 3-mana 2/2s. And with Fate Reforged, there's
manifesting stuff in.
Like, there's a white card that's just 2-mana, manifest the top card of your library. Mm. And, like, that card is just going to outrace you with this at every stage. Granted, this is a warrior, so if you're a dedicated warrior deck, this card can have some synergy. But the problem is that
you're
all
more
the,
reliant on other things.
All the synergies for the warriors are in Khans, which means you're drafting them after you've drafted this. And that's a problem.
Oh, we open. So when you're drafting, you're open Fate Reforged, then 2.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, bear in mind that, this set is actually one of the better sets in terms of limited. Like, there's not a lot of dead cards. I was having a discussion with our own Aaron Graham, and.
Missing in action.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Trademark.
We basically talked about the fact that there was like four rares you don't want to open. Like, there are only like four rares in this set that if you open them in draft, you're not like, man,
strength of the release is good. Yeah.
Whereas, like, I've played in previous limited formats where I'm like, oh, man, this rare...
More junk rares.
Yeah, like...
..
Yeah, when I started in RTR and stuff, that was, like, there were so many things you just didn't want to open in a pack.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? There was crap loads of, rares.
Things you just could not use.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the rares in this set are so good. A bunch of the uncommons are better than the rares, which is just like, wow.
But weren't we always happy to get, like, a welcome turn or a, you know, a, what's the other blue card?
I think it would be better, but the fact that people can just morph stuff in means that that card's probably a lot worse than it would have been. And it's still, if you draw it later on, it just does nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing about Welcome Turn is most flyers are either like 2/2s or they're 4/4s. Mm. You generally are like a Windrake or you're an Air Elemental. Yeah. And so Welcome Turn trades with most flyers that exist, whereas this card just doesn't trade for anything.
And what was the other one? The one that I really liked that I always forgot that was blue. It could only be blocked by flyers or something like that.
Vaporkin.
Yeah, Vaporkin and Welcome Turn. They're exactly the same card.
Okay.
Different name.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So goodbye, Avon Skirmisher. Yes. Won't look forward to playing you ever. I'll rip him up. Lotus Pathjin.
This card is nuts.
3 and a blue for a guy who's setting fire to his carpet with blue flames. He's a creature. He's a Jijin monk. He's a 2/3. He's got flying. He's got prowess.
And flavor text. Got it all.
Flavor text.
Yeah. So what's the Lotus Path Jijin going? This monk, what's he like?
This card is so good.
He's a 2/3 with prowess and evasion. It sounds like he's winning, basically.
Remember Alabaster Kian?
Yeah.
How excited a lot of people are for that card. Because that is a 4-mana 2/3, right? Like, that blocks a lot of things. That and blocks Morph really well.
Doesn't have to stay a 2/3 while he's got that evasion either.
And this card is just better. Like, granted, it doesn't have Vigilance, but the fact that it can become a 3/4 or a 4/5 is so good.
He gets big pretty quick, doesn't he?
Because
wherever he always starts.
This is the card that all the Jeskai decks want. Like, if you go up to a Jeskai deck, they're always going to be like, man, if I had 3 of those in my deck, I'm okay. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And, like, he's a pretty good body anyway. Like, 4 mana for a 2/3 flyer isn't something we haven't paid before.
Yeah, like, and he has upside.
Yeah.
So in your modern formats, stuff like this, still no?
No,
too expensive for modern.
Yeah.
You can play 4 mana 3/4s with flash and upside in that format.
Yeah. Okay. Give us a knowing nod when we get modern / commanderable. All right, so whereabouts is that going? Is that...
This is currently first pick.
First pick so far. Great. All right. These pronunciations aren't helping me. Tasagur's Cruelty. 5 and a swamp for a sorcery. I can bet Keen's not going to like this because it's black. You never seem to get excited about black cards.
You're not wrong, Dave.
5 and a swamp for a sorcery, which there's a delve, so it can be cheaper. And each opponent discards 2 cards. That's a bit of a... All right, yeah.
I don't know.
Is there any function for this?
Cards with each opponent generally seem to show up in multiplayer, so I'll be aimed for it, and it's not really...
It's not really
going
to
be played in multiplayer, is it?
No.
So...
And they get to choose.
Yes.
So it's not like you're having a look at their case.
I mean, they're still
down
2 cards, but for the same mana and delve, you can just cast Tasagur, who is much better... If you have him.
Or for the same manner,
a lot of other
you
things.
Can cast a kick-ass card that's going to deal with whatever was on those 2 cards that they just threw away. Because you built a better deck than they did.
So I'm going to come in and be the opposite and actually say that this is playable in Sealed.
Don't be ridiculous. Go on. Why?
So Sealed is generally a much slower format.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, you never want to main deck this card. Like, ever.
Yeah.
But if you see that they have a Ugin or, you know, some other ridiculous bomb that you have no way to deal with...
When are they going to go, out of this handful of cards, I'm going to throw Eugene away?
When they have 2 cards in hand.
When that is right, yeah.
Like, sure, but when you see your opponents on 6 land, they draw a land and they instantly slam it into play, you're like, huh, maybe they have Ugin that I saw in game 1. And then you've boarded it in and now you know it's the time to cast it. But
that sounds like this card is good when ...
Yes.
Right, but you have to know that they've got it in their hand. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And by the time... I don't know. I'm not I've not sealed for a while, but by the time I have six mana available, generally I only have one card in my hand.
Yeah, but if that card's
maybe
Ugin.
It's unlikely to be Ugin.
It's unlikely, but these types of discard spells always have their place in sealed. They very rarely enter draft, and they're very rarely, if ever, going to enter standard. But in sealed, they do have their place, and that's against your opponent's massively overcosted bomb that you know they have.
I just think there's better things you could be doing with your graveyard than making your opponent discard two cards that they get to choose.
I was just thinking that if you're playing a Delve deck and this comes up and it's six, are you really going to like throw away some of your delvable cards so you can get this cheaper?
Or
you're
not excited.
You've probably got another card that you're waiting for, which you go, I want to get that out immediately.
Well, you'd hope so.
All right, let's set fire to Tassiga's cruelty immediately, despite what you
Kian
said.
Kian can have it. Kian. He likes it.
Yes, let's,
no,
let's
I don't
frame
want
it.
The card, but
let's
it
frame
has
it
its
give
uses.
It to Kian. No, it's good to argue devil's advocate on a few. But Teemer Battle Rage, one and a mountain. For an instant, target creature gains double strike until the end of turn.
Oh, man, that sounds fun.
Also, it has ferocious. That creature also gains trample until end of turn if you control a creature with four or greater power. Right.
Huh.
Double strike.
You should never touch this in limited. I really want to play it in constructed.
Yeah. Double strike's always fun.
Double strike is fun. Yeah.
But you have to have the right creature for it to
land on. You have to have a creature.
You don't want to drop it on Aven Skirmisher.
So,
Well, it's for two. What are you talking about?
Dave, you wouldn't know this about me, but the first Magic tournament I ever won was on the back of a deck that was called Naya Brave. It was a white-based deck that you abused the card Brave the Elements. Brave the Elements being you can choose a color, and white creatures you control get protection from that color.
Yes.
And essentially what the deck was that it was an aggressive combo deck. So what it would do is it would attack you with a 2-2, then it would give it +6/+6 and double strike. And the way you would do that would be some combination of, you know, Giant Growth, Boros Charm, or, you know, Gorklan Rampager, Boros Charm, or you'd be targeting a Fabled Hero, which already has double strike, and you go Giant Growth, give it protection from your board, attack you for 20.
You go a bit further back, you Silverblade Paladin
paired
with things.
Like, these types of strategies have always existed, and some popped up in the most recent standard tournament. The only standard tournament to happen is at the time of recording. There's one starting in, like, 6 hours from now in America. But, like, the major standard tournament...
We'll all be there.
Yeah. The major standard tournament... Three of the decks in the top 64 were playing this card main deck. So you need to respect this card when they attack you with a 6-6. Because if they attack you with a 6-6 and you're on like 14 and you don't block, you might just be dead.
It's an easy one to squeeze out. It's only two mana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they go like add two power, give it double strike, you just died.
So two mana, that's modernable, commanderable. Same, you know, you just a win there,
it's not,
right
it's
there,
not,
isn't it?
It's not commanderable, really. Yeah. Unless you're going for the alpha strike with your commander for the win. But
what's the thinking behind that? What sort of ethos have you got
generally
going into building
like
your deck?
Reusability or things that have a really big impact because you've only got one ofs. You're not going to draw this again.
Sure.
So it's either going to win you the game or it's going to put you in a really good spot. And
so,
but that's like the Gorklan Rampager nonsense that you know with the charm
Boros.
Where you just like bang,
sure.
you just
but
lose.
It's a lot harder to put together, and there's a lot more removal in Commander. So
right,
like you could cast this, but your creature's just probably going to disappear before it resolves.
Boros Charm is a much better example. So this card is good in standard because nothing else does what this card does.
Yeah.
But Boros Charm, which sits in Modern and Commander, like one of its mode is your everything you own is indestructible this turn.
Mm.
Another mode is deal 4 damage to target player, and the other mode is give a creature double strike. Like, all three of those modes are going to be useful at some time, so you have flexibility.
But that's the flexibility that probably makes it into a commander deck, isn't it?
Because this does
uses.
One thing.
Yeah.
Sure. And but it might do one thing. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to put a...
But you'd like it with your
Death hands.
Touch. Trample Death Touch is good.
You're not playing this in...
Yeah.
We're not first picking this. You will play it in limited sometimes, but stay away from it. There are removal spells that'll blow you out.
Yeah. Okay. I can see where this is heading. Return to the Earth. 3 and a forest for an instant. Destroy target artifact, enchantment, or creature with flying. A lot of dragons around.
Yeah.
Even as the picture portrays.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
For green, this is this is very close to Plummet. So Plummet is a card that green decks have played for the end of
forever.
Time, and they always will.
Yeah.
Except this also deals with enchantments and artifacts, right?
Yeah, artifact, enchantment, and creatures of flying.
It's got it in my green commander deck.
Artifact is irrelevant. That card doesn't matter, but for limited anyway. But enchantments, one of the things in this set, there is a cycle of sieges.
Mm.
And those sieges are absolutely game-destroying.
Right. Green one's making some pretty big waves, isn't it?
In standard, yeah. Like, three of them have already seen play in standard, and as I said, there's only been one standard tournament. We'll talk more about that later. But, you know, this card is very easily going to sit either at your 23rd card or very, very forward in your sideboard, and you're like, well, I've got this guy. And when your opponent plays their, you know...
Yeah, go on, say Avon Skirmisher.
No, I'm going to say
they, instantly
when
bring
they play
to
their Avon Skirmisher, you've got something that can deal with it.
That's it.
No, I'm going to say
that's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm sweating.
Yeah, it's the answer that you want.
Attackera, the World Render.
All right. What
when they
that
play
one?
That guy, you want to kill it. That is a 7 mana dragon with trample and double strike.
Oh. What's his
6/4.
6/4 with double strike.
And trample.
It's pretty hard.
That's not going to take long to lose to, is it?
Yeah. So when they play
Return
that card, you're like...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's great. It's going in Commander. It's so good.
And you still get it in your pocket if they're going Voltron, building up their Avon Skirmisher with multiple enchantments.
Yeah.
It's not quite goodbye. Rain of Thorns, but it does deal with flyers, so...
Yeah. And 4 is a reasonable price in this...
In limited, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
limited,
right. So, but you're not first picking that. You're not even getting close to...
No, not... You
it's a
you
good card, but
it.
It's like later on in
the... Somewhere in the middle of the
pack,
maybe.
Yeah.
All right. There's a monkey on a surfboard. It's Mardu Scout.
Sounds good.
Two mountains. Creature, Goblin Scout. He's got dash, one and a mountain. And that's it. He's a 3/1. A 3/1.
This card
I really like Dash.
Dash is fun, isn't it?
It's a good mechanic.
Pay 2, he appears, bang, hits you for 3, disappears.
He's safe again.
Yeah.
This card is amazing constructed. Pretty good to okay in the right limited deck, but you're not first picking it.
Yeah. And if you were, because of the 2 mountain cost, does that mean...
You need to be very heavy red.
Yeah,
very
you're not going to be playing 3 colors, right? Can you do it in a 3-color deck?
It's you would want to be you would want to be like base red, splashing 2 colors at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this card has its place and it is pretty good, and it does hit really hard, but
and really quickly.
Yeah, the 2 red means it's a little bit awkward in a 3-color set with a lot of tap lands. And
why do you need 2 red? Why are you casting it? Just dash it, just over and over again. Just.
Yeah, that's true.
If my opponent uses their turn 2 and their turn 3 and their turn 4 to dash a Mardu Scout, I'm 100% okay with that.
Yeah, well, that's but you've taken like a load of damage.
Sweet.
So I'm pretty happy with that too.
I will now play my Teemer Battle Charger or whatever.
Right.
No, not that card. What's the 5/5 for 5?
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot of mana that's just being disposed of, isn't it? It's rather than staying on the...
I mean,
there
I
are a lot of advantages to it.
Mm.
Like, you dodge sorcery speed removal, which there's a lot of in limited.
Yeah.
You dodge wrath effects, which is very good in constructed.
What do you mean by wrath effects?
And
big board wipes.
Oh, okay,
Like Crux of Fate, for example.
And it has haste.
Mm.
So
yeah.
One of the things you need to realize about the Mardu cards in this set is there's like 15 cards in this set that have haste. So like, think about how many cards would normally have haste in a set. You'd be like
many.
2 or 3.
Yeah.
There are 15 in this set, which means like...
Some fast decks out there.
Well, not even that, right? Like, if your opponent has nothing...
It's just they can surprise you.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of nowhere and just
like,
hit you for a bunch.
Yeah.
If you're on 3 and they have nothing on deck and nothing in the hand and you don't leave back a blocker... And they're in red.
Yeah,
you are in so much trouble
because they can play what 2 or 3 cards.
Yeah,
and
you
go
give
bang,
you 2 or 3 dash cards, and then that thing that gives it double strike, and off you go.
Right? Like they can just top deck a dash card and kill you.
Mm.
So like, there's a lot of like, what's on top of their deck can be very scary now because 15 of the cards that they could have all have haste, and most of them are pretty good.
And this guy's surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this one of the monkey goblins that you were
This is the one that Kian was telling me about earlier.
Yeah. All right. I'll have to make a note about this and bring it back. Oh, I do like the artist's name. His last name is Boros, which I think is...
Oh, yeah. I love this guy.
That's pretty good.
as much as I'm not a fan of Goblins with Fur, this art is so good. The last Star City tournament, this was the playmat there, and I'm very tempted to buy one because it just looks so cool. It's a goblin surfing with two huge knives and a GoPro.
Okay, general philosophy on the two color thing in this format. Does that bring it down a few notches as to, you know, if you're really tossing up between, you know, like second or third card you're going to pick, you're not so sure what color or colors you're playing, do you not go with this guy?
You kind of have to pass.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pick him up.
No.
So you're mostly playing three-color decks anyway, two three-color decks. And
so you're going to get this guy once you're finding that you've collected a lot of red, and you're not going to really, you might be splashing something else.
Yeah.
And this guy, you're thinking he's circulating around the table, and you're thinking, well, that's all right, I'm going to get Mardu Scout. And all right. So he's going low at the moment. Light form. One and two planes for the uncommon enchantment.
You sound like you like this one, Ken.
When light form enters
this
the battlefield,
so dirty.
It becomes an aura with enchant creature. Manifest the top card of your library and attach light form to it. Right, let's
wow,
soak that,
that
in.
Sounds
when light
awesome.
Form enters the battlefield, it becomes an aura with enchant creature. Manifest the top card of your library and attach light form to it. So what's happening there? We're getting a 2-2, and this is sitting on top of it.
But then you enchant it, and it has flying and lifelink.
Okay, I missed a bit of text. Yeah, I was going,
what happens there? You missed the important
bit of text. Yeah, enchanted creature has flying and lifelink.
Yeah,
right.
That is awesome.
So a 2-2 flying lifelink for 3. Yeah.
So you're essentially paying one white for a flying 2-2 with lifelink.
Yeah.
Done. Sold. That's great.
Yeah, I'll do that all day.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is cool.
And the card inherently has a 40% chance to be better than that. Because 40% of your deck is creatures, and most of your creatures are going to be better than 2-2s.
Okay, so if you flip it up, it's still got flying and lifelink.
Yeah. So, like, this is the thing about a lot of the manifest cards, is you're already okay to pay that rate, and 40% of the time, they're just going to be way better.
Mm.
And there's a lot of other things, right? I saw this card destroy a limited match, because he went, turn 3 this, turn 4 Citadel Siege, put 2 counters on it per turn.
Oh, you're right.
The game ended.
Yeah.
Would you, just thinking it through, you manifest the card, you know it's a flyer. Do you feel any worse about flipping it over because...
Not at all. If it has an extra power, it's amazing.
Yeah, all right. That is really exciting, life form. I think that's a card that instantly jumps out. Does that beat Lotus Path Dijin to our first pick so far?
It's double white.
Yeah.
That is the one limiting factor on it. But... It could be. I haven't played enough limited with this format to definitively say either way, but it's a potential.
That's a pretty powerful card, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets your Phyrexian Dreadnought into play without having to sacrifice a load of stuff. You sneak in loads of things with it. It's beautiful. Just like Cloud Form. It's so good.
Cloud Form is so dirty.
Yeah.
Well, oh, crap.
Same thing.
There's a dragon with feathers. It's our second uncommon. Shockmore Dragon. He's 4 with 2 mountains.
This card's
costs
really good.
4 and 2 mountains. Creature, he's a dragon. Flying, whenever Shockmore Dragon deals combat damage to a player, it deals 1 damage to each creature that player controls.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And he's a 4-4. So he's a 4-4 with flying, with this dealing combat to a player, dealing 1 to everything.
So there's a cycle of the uncommon dragons. There's 1 for each color.
Yeah.
This is either the best one or the second best. Because, like, its effect is very powerful. So, imagine this board state, Dave.
Yeah.
I have Shockmore Dragon, 2 morphs.
Yeah.
You have 2 3-3s.
Right.
I attack you with all 3 of my creatures.
Yes.
If you block, your 3-3s die, and I lose both my morphs.
Oh, yeah, because you just knocked my 3-3s down 1 by this guy. And because he's flying up.
So, like, in a very subtle way, this card warps combat because it essentially removes 1 toughness from all of your opponent's creatures.
If he gets through.
Yeah. And
which he's going to.
It's a 4-4 dragon.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
what sort of...
What's he beating? So
what's he flying against?
So someone's played their Elspeth and made some tokens, and you play him. You can't attack, and they kill him with Elspeth. And there are lots of things that make tokens, I suppose.
But what happens to
those?
We're
1
talking limited, Riley.
Are we doing limited?
This
No.
Never touching constructed.
Oh, there we go. It's not a constructed card.
No.
What would you say was, if it's the first or second best dragon, which is the one it's competing with?
The black one.
Oh, really?
So the 6-mana black dragon is a 4/4 with flying, and it reads, when it dies, destroy target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less.
Converted mana cost 3 or less.
I don't know. I like the green one.
Really?
Destroy target non-creature permanent is pretty good.
On what condition?
When it dies.
When it dies.
Destroy target non-creature permanent. They're all the same, aren't they? They're all 4/4 flying dragons.
Yeah, they're all 4/4s for 6. So, at base, they're all pretty good, and you're probably going to pick them fairly highly.
You would probably play them in constructed.
People with token-generating decks are going to love this card, though. I mean, Shockmore Dragon, forget about it if you're playing. I mean, what are the tokens? Are the 1/1 monks or something like that, aren't they? There's stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're not going to enjoy Shockmore Dragon being around. Yeah, okay. So for our third uncommon, where do we play Shockmore Dragon, by the way?
It loses to return to the earth.
This is in a similar pile to the one we've already got going. The only thing it has
we
again...
have three piles going, Kim.
No, it's in the light form lotus path. This is... The biggest downside to it is that it does cost 6 mana. So it is a little bit expensive, but I think you're always going to want one of these in your deck. They're so good. You know, 4/4s in the air are basically unblockable unless they have their own dragon.
And it does something.
Yeah.
Which is,
so two mountains not keeping you shy of
picking? Not at 6 mana.
Yeah, because you're going to have it by then.
Anything could be happening.
Yeah. Light Form just seems so powerful, though. It's one of those cards where you go, I want to play that.
Cool thing to note about this card is, do you notice the watermark?
On the Shockmore Dragon?
Yeah.
It's doing what?
Which clan is it?
I don't know my clan symbols. Riley, do you?
So this symbol is not any of the clan symbols from Khans of Tarkir.
It's fucking dragon wings with feathers on them, isn't it? That's what it is.
So this is actually something that pops up on all the dragons. Right. It's these clan symbols, and that's what I think they are. We don't actually know
it. Clan dragon.
But essentially, they're these clan symbols that we haven't seen yet. And they're on every single one of the dragons, and they pop up in the art in the set a bunch.
Unknown Khan.
Well, the next set is called Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah.
So in the storyline, right, we had the present, which is where Sarkhan and, you know, Zergo, Helm Smasher, and all the cards from the old set were hanging around. And then Sarkhan was like, I really like dragons. Yeah. I'm going to go back in time
and save Ugin. Wasn't he possessed by Eugene for a while?
No, he went mad. Ugin sent him mad.
He saw a
dragon and went crazy. Yeah.
But essentially what he did is he traveled back in time, and we stopped Nicol Bolas from killing Ugin.
Yes.
And the next...
I thought he did kill him.
He did. And now he didn't.
I unkilled him.
Unkilled him.
Which is really exciting for Magic's future. But the next set is essentially going to be the future slash present again. Except everything's going to be subtly different.
Past MTG.
Yeah. But it's just really exciting because, like, these symbols, we don't know what they mean, but they're alluding to something in the future, which is going to be really fun.
This reminds me of when they announced Dragon Maze, and we were all thinking, this is going to be great. There's going to be fucking dragons everywhere. Every second card's going to be a dragon. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
They probably heard those conversations and went, yes, in a couple of years' time, that's exactly what we'll have.
Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah, awesome. Now, that was our... We're up to our third uncommon, which is Channel Harm.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a lamest...
This card is the biggest blowout.
Yeah.
Is it?
I know this card off by heart.
Five in a planes for an instant... Prevent all damage. Don't you love cards that start like that? Prevent all damage that will be dealt to you and permanents you control this turn by sources you don't control. If damage is prevented this way, you may have Channel Harm deal that much damage to target creature. For 6!
So, this card is like Flying Crane Technique. When your opponent has it, you basically can't play around it ever. Because if they have it, you're dead.
Really? But it's...
What do they do? They prevent all the damage done and they kill one of your creatures.
It's like Fog Mirror.
Okay. So here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
When do you cast this card? When they're either killing you or when they're attacking with a bunch of their stuff. So remember what Khans was all about, right? You'd all play a bunch of creatures, and you just end up in this huge mid-range off. You'd have five creatures on the board and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was opposite of Theros, which was just building, like, one big guy.
Yeah. So they attack you with everything, and you go, okay, I'm going to block like this, like this, like this.
Oh, yeah.
And then cast this, kill that. And suddenly you've 4-for-1'd them. And that's not unreasonable. Like, there's so little setup in this card.
I don't think you have 4-for-1. What you've done is if you've prevented them from putting you behind by killing your stuff.
You've 1-for-1.
No, you haven't. Because
you use one card to kill one of their creatures.
You realize that the creatures you blocked also die.
Only if they were going to anyway.
Yeah, but you double blocked or triple blocked them. Because the other thing is, if you let creatures through, you're taking no damage.
Hmm. Okay. So you've killed two of his creatures.
And then killed a third with this.
Oh, I was including that. So you double triple block one of them, and then you kill another one.
Cool, you're just 2-for-1. This is limited. Right. You're ahead by a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you probably killed their two biggest things.
Probably. Well, so hopefully.
Yeah, so you probably killed, what, like 2 5-5s or whatever? Or like their Shockmore Dragon and another thing? Like,
can we get to the fact? Back to the fact it's called Channel Harm, and it's got a picture that looks like it's come out of like a 1980s Dungeons & Dragons manual.
Yeah.
Doesn't that throw some of us off? That's
me. Are currently first picking this card. This card is completely busted.
Really?
Wow.
Well, I suppose it beats even Skirmisher, doesn't it?
Don't be like that, Riley.
He's
not going to come back.
He's got to believe.
This card is exactly like Flying Crane Technique. Like, when your opponent has it, it's incredibly difficult for you to win.
Right.
Like, name me a situation in any draft game where your opponent has this in their hand and 6 mana and they don't win. It's just not a thing. Because, like, you deliberately have to ship multiple creatures under the bus for them to want to use it. And then, like, they've just completely demolished their board. They've lost nothing. Like, you can't even...
This is going to be one of those cards that blows brain fuses, though, because someone's going to have it in their hand, and instead of attacking with all, you'll attack with a few, leave a few blockers back. Attack with a few, leave a few blockers back. Meanwhile, your life total's going down, and they're going, when do I play it? When do I play it? You know,
also, if they're chipping away at you with their Mardu Scout that they're dashing every turn, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I don't want to give it to you now because I'll see what the rare is.
Fair enough.
Snatching at the card.
There is one thing to note about this card.
Yeah.
Is it does target.
Shit art, isn't it?
Oh. It does target.
Right.
So when they cast this spell, they have to point to a creature and say, all of this is going to this creature.
Yeah.
If that creature suddenly disappears...
Or becomes hexproof.
Yeah, or whatever. The spell doesn't resolve. So that's a neat trick to note. Because, like, normally when a spell is like that, it says, target creature... blah.
You know, this earlier when you said name a scenario where they don't win, the one you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
That one.
That one.
Yeah.
With genius, I'm glad I figured that out.
Yeah,
but see,
good.
Here's the thing. They just used a bounce spell or a kill spell on their own creature.
Yeah.
So even then, you're not doing too badly. You basically traded 1-for-2.
Yeah, and you still might have lost. You still... if it can't target the creature, does all the prevent harm still happen?
Nope.
No.
Nothing happens. So then all your creatures die because you chuck them in front of his, like, 10-10.
Okay.
But then again, they've used their premium removal spell or bounce spell on their own dude.
Okay, so the land card was a Windscarred Crag.
It's good. It's a good land.
It's a good land. You happy with that?
Seas constructed.
It seems to...
Sealed, thingy play.
Constructed.
It shows up.
Suits a lot of what's going on with...
It fits in really well with that booster,
with
actually, doesn't
we've
it?
We've got Lightform.
Probably not first picking
Dragon,
it.
Pressure point. No.
But, like, this...
It's up there.
This pack in Sealed... It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what our rare is, because we've got a foal coming our way as well, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited.
And it's not number one Raymond Swanland. It's, I thought this guy would come up. Ataka, World Render.
Oh, man.
We talked about this card.
Yeah, we did.
This card is so busted.
So,
it seems
five
really cool.
For a red, for a five and a mountain and a forest gets you a legendary creature, Dragon. He's a 6/4 with flying and trample.
Yep.
Whenever a dragon you control attacks, it gains double strike until end of turn. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, it gets double strike until end of turn.
Note, it is a dragon.
Yeah.
So, Commander...
And more dragons.
Yeah, he's going in everyone's dragon commander decks. So
he might even be their commander because he is legendary.
Oh, no. I don't think he's quite I mean, commandery.
If you have a way to
Scion of the Ur-Dragon and you just win with him.
But like, if you have a way to give this haste or something like that, like you are killing them in two turns.
Scion of the Ur-Dragon, you just turn him into him, and then you can reanimate him later if you like.
Fair enough. I'll leave the commander stuff to you.
And good news, guys, he has proper leathery bat-like huge dragon wings.
not at the tips.
Good for you, Karl Kapinski.
Along, they turn into feathers.
Yeah, we can't see the full art. I doubt that's going to happen. Karl Kapinski, what a guy.
So
this is way out in front for.
Yeah, like
pick.
So. Remember when
we're
we talked
our
about
deck around this guy?
Remember when we talked about the fact that like the sets are just a big mid-range off. You just play a bunch of creatures, then eventually someone wins.
Right.
This is a card that does that.
Yeah,
because you play it and your opponent dies in two turns.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, they have to have more than six toughness of flyers that also have four power to block this guy. Like, that is such a huge ask.
Or return to
are there a lot of second, third, fourth pick dragons that are floating around so you can sponge them up? You know, you get a guy like this, you're collecting
the
dragons,
the
aren't you?
The four power, four toughness dragons probably won't go first from the packs.
Yeah, like, yeah, if we were sitting next to a guy that's open Shockmore Dragon, there's a good chance that's coming our way.
Yeah.
I think there are generally better things than the dragons
that
around.
That upside is there, but it's so tiny. It's
a dragon thing?
Yeah, like...
Really? I thought that's a great one.
No, these
dragon
ones.
You can,
Not the dragon,
no,
the
but like,
four ones.
Thinking about it that way is it's like, oh man, can I get more value out of my 7-mana bomb that's going to win me the game? Mm. It's like the card is already insane.
I suppose it's a bit win more, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want more dragons.
Let's give my other dragons double strike. Well, this one was probably enough, but like, you do have a point. Like, that bonus is there.
Yeah, and so you're saying basically this guy attacks, he's hitting for 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts, isn't it? So it's a 7-mana, 12-4.
I've died to this card, and it was terrifying. Because, me and my opponent were just playing this mid-range game, right? Mm. Like, we were both like, oh, you know. And I was slightly ahead. Like, I was probably going to win in two or three turns. And he just plays this guy, and my hand was like a 2-damage removal spell. And I'm like, what's on top of my deck, land? What's on top of your land? Oh, I'm dead. Like, and it was just this card. The game was suddenly just about this card. And if you couldn't answer it, you died.
It seems so fun, though. All right, let's see what the foil is. And it is number 9, Zach Stella 00, Daghata the Adamant.
This card's okay.
It's a foil rare. So we've taken Ataka World Render.
Yeah, can I read Daghata?
Oh, he's the one that moves counters, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of cool, but he's like the worst Khan.
I guess.
I'll read him out. He's 3 mana white, legendary creature. He's a 0/0, but he has vigilance. So, you know, that's a thing. When he enters the battlefield, he has 4+1/+1 counters. And he also has an ability, 1 black-green, so Golgari hybrid mana. Move a 1/1 counter from target creature onto a second target creature. The ability is pretty cool, and once you get to late game, it just means you can just bounce counters around to win combat all the time. Also worth noting, if any of your opponent's creatures have 1/1 counters, you can steal them, but it's a little too expensive, and it's basically a 4-mana 4/4 with vigilance, which is still very good, but we're probably picking Agatar, the World Render.
Yeah, this guy reminds me of, what was that monkey priest looking guy that used to be able to tap him, put a token on it, or tap him and move a token? Remember that guy?
Wasn't that Matthias?
Something like that.
Micaeus is not.
It was.
No, tap and put a 1/1 counter on your creatures.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this has got an OCAX thing, the off-color activation cycle, because the one and either 2 swamps, 2 forests mix, moving the counter is a swamp and a forest, as opposed to this being a white card.
Yeah, so it's the Abzan guy.
Yeah. Okay, so Ataka it is.
Ataka!
He's pretty
nice
cool.
And
I guess
easy.
There's not much that does counters, though, aside from, like, there's Bolster, but that's, that's basically it.
It works very well in Limited with both of the Abzan mechanics being Outlast and Bolster, but...
That's right, Outlast. I've forgotten about that one.
But it's strong red-white deck, isn't it? Red-white pack.
This pack is fairly exciting.
You can reanimate him with Alicia.
If you open this in Sealed, you're actually very well set up to either be Naya or Madu, or Madu splashing green for Ataka. Like,
yeah, what's the red-green-white?
Naya.
Naya.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong... I mean, it's a shame you have to miss out on the Return to the Earth, but... Oh, no, you don't.
Not if you splash green.
No, yeah.
Well, you've got green for Pagan to play a Tarka with that.
And you can even play the Aven Skirmisher, so you've got it all.
Just keep the booster. Just don't pass it on.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've learned from this pack.
Well, you just that conspiracy card. That's all you need.
Oh, man.
All right, we're going to take off and come back with a bit of MTG card quiz.
Woo!
MTG card quiz.
MTG card quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No penny whistle.
What
are they also missing in action?
What are the numbers for?
Well, so we didn't figure out lyrics for the rest of the jingle.
Oh,
for,
right, so you just...
The MTG card quiz and then...
Numbers.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we needed a melody, and that's what it came to mind.
All right.
And we used to have backing from somebody, maybe Aaron, on a penny whistle, which was interesting for a bit.
Should I grab this bottle and just start going?
Yes. Oh, that was an idea for too late. Too late, Ken. Leave it.
The moment's passed.
Oh no.
Let me just see. Okay, MTG card quiz number. Right.
What do we have to do?
Okay, what you have to do is just scribble down the answers.
Oh.
Don't let Keane see your answers.
We'll see. Oh, it'll
cheat.
I know he will.
Yeah. I've got three questions.
So, Riley, you understand the rules, right?
What?
Two men enter, one man leaves. To the death on MTG card quiz.
Pretty much.
All right. Bring it. I'm afraid of you.
Don't do any of the word scramble ones again, Dave.
I left them out.
Jeez.
I love an anagram.
Yeah.
He like, word scrambled cards in standard, and I'm just like...
I got the idea of Sarah working at Rockingham, Good Game Sarah, who introduced them as they're all mixed up. They're the name of a card, but all the letters are mixed up. So you've got to unmix them up. And I said, oh, so it's an anagram. She goes, you've got to unmix the letters. So it's an anagram of a card name. You need to unmix the letters. They're all mixed up. So,
Did you unmix the letters?
No, I didn't know what to do with them. I only knew how to deal with anagrams.
Oh, okay.
No, it was good fun. I enjoyed that sort of
good
horseshit. Question one. You'll like this.
I hope so.
Due to the word magic being such a commonly used word and therefore impossible to copyright, what was the name almost given to the game at its initial release? When magic was first coming out.
I know this. Oh,
we've talked about
God.
This on the pod. Aaron would know this immediately.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
That's why I thought it'd be funny to put it in, because he's talked about it.
I have heard of this before, and I remember thinking, man, I'm so glad they didn't, because the name was so dumb.
I just check my phone for it.
Garfield and that played this game, called it Magic the entire time.
Right.
And then the lawyers came in and went, I don't think so. And they called it something else. And they even submitted it, I think, as they were starting to get the copyright for it.
Can you give us a clue?
I'm telling the story. Yep, this is a clue in itself.
I thought it was just interesting backstory.
I don't think
while
so.
We were failing to think of the name.
Do you really want me to give you a clue? No, there's no clues.
All right.
It's a two-word answer, so you might jag one of them.
Oh.
It's a very, very functional kind of name.
It's like...
Question two.
Playing lands.
Playing two. In what? Oh, and I should also say, don't guess out loud, because it has happened that the stupid guess out loud has been the correct answer before. So, I'm not saying it is or isn't.
Oh, that
lands.
Was so funny.
Right. Question two. In what edition did the tap symbol, as we know it now, a grey circle with a black clockwise arrow, first appear? So, in what edition did the tap symbol, as we know it now, appear? All right, Keen very confidently scribbled on his desk.
It's like, so I specifically, I have a card that was very early on that I know, has the tap symbol on it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's actually the first time.
You're doubling
time.
Down
I'm
on
trying
that
to
edition.
Think of old cards that I have. I'm trying to remember if they have tap symbols on.
Early on, I think they said tap.
Yeah, they just said tap.
Yeah, and then they had a picture of a card, and then...
Oh, no, because, it's on... Oh, man, I'm
yeah,
sick.
There's about three different versions before the version we know now. But they've stuck with this one for quite a while.
All right.
Okay. Question three. In Unhinged, there was a card released without any letters in its name. What is the shortest MTG card name with letters in its title that's ever been released? And there is a hint for this. It was in the Unglued set.
Oh, God.
So you want the shortest MTG card name that actually uses letters, not the blank one, and it was in the Unglued set.
I know what the longest one is.
Oh, quite, you can say that? What, the one from the... that was from Unhinged, and it was something like... We were told that everybody likes card names with long names, and so we made this name just so it'd be super
yeah,
long.
Yeah, it went around as, like...
And it says, or refer to it as, and then the initials of all of that, which is just hard to remember. Yeah, this is the opposite in the spectrum. So in that release, they also had a card with nothing on it, which was like a shapeshifter card. But in Unglued, there was a card with very little letters in its name. Shortest MTG card quiz, MTG card ever named.
See, it's really funny because I keep wanting to say Bolt because I'm like, oh, that's four letters. But I'm like, oh, wait, it's Lightning Bolt. I just shorten it to Bolt every time. So I'm like, Bolt that. Because saying Lightning Bolt
shortest
that.
One.
Now, he's guessing out loud.
Yeah, but no, he's obviously wrong. I can't think of any number of cards that are shorter than four letters.
This is an anecdote, Dave. This is an anecdote. You should know what they are.
But sometimes with the correct answer in them. Just presuming, maybe.
I've written down my answer.
You've already written down your answer. All right, let's go to the top of the... I'll give... for question one, I'll give a point.
Oh, is that only it?
That's it. Three questions.
Oh.
Well, we're not sitting here all night doing this.
Are you sure?
Not all of us have written, you know, multiple document, you know, cryptographic things.
On the theory of flags.
I thought maybe five questions.
You want a five? No.
There's six. There's six in total because it's broken up into two sections.
Oh, I suppose that's the thing you want.
There's flavor text coming up and the scores from this do carry over.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I was hoping for a clean slate.
No. Never mind. All right. So I'll give a point for if you jag the first or second word.
Right.
Of this... Question one. Due to the word magic being such a commonly used word and therefore impossible to copyright, what was the name almost given to the game at its initial release? Kian, what have you got?
I'm going to say Wizards and Spells.
Wizards and Spells. All right, so Kian and Riley, you've gone for Wizards and Spells. Riley, what do you got?
I just put Conjuring Creatures.
Conjuring Creatures.
A bit of alliteration.
Yeah,
you know,
so you just...
You'd have a PhD, I thought
even
you'd
though
go
the
for
company
like
is
that.
Called Wizards.
Yeah, but...
Was it Wizards straight away out of the blocks?
No,
it wasn't.
Was it?
So that doesn't work. And Conjuring Creatures, just ignoring sorcery spells and...
I mean, I imagine they started with creatures. Like, they seem to be...
Fairly like, important.
If I was developing this game from scratch, I would start with, I want to make a creature that I can kill you with.
Yeah.
Instants and sorceries are a bit abstract, aren't they? So
I think there was... other enchantment-y aura things early on.
Probably.
But it was summoning to play blur.
Yeah.
Creature. Summoning to play creature. Summoning to play aura. I don't know. I'm making this up now. Anyway, we are both wrong. You score nothing. Oh. It was called Mana Clash.
That's a much better name.
I remember now.
Mana Clash.
Oh,
Mana
terrible.
Clash. Yeah.
Well, there's Clash, isn't there? There's a mechanic. It's pretty much.
So what was
Clash
what was
should be reprinted.
Yeah. Your original guess was like land...
Oh, like playing lands.
Playing lands.
It's actually pretty close.
See what I mean? See
yeah,
what
no,
I mean?
You're
That's
right.
what reminded All right. me. All right, so we're on zero wall.
Yeah.
Question
this
two.
This happens a lot.
Yeah, we're very familiar with the score of
when
zero.
When my PhD is over, I'll be back and I'll have so much time.
Just to study this bullshit.
Learn everything.
Yeah. In what edition did the tap symbol, as we know it now, a grey circle with a black clockwise arrow, first appear?
Fourth edition.
Revised.
Is that your answer, fourth?
Yeah, sure, I wrote fourth.
And you're going revised?
Yep.
It was eighth edition.
Really?
Eighth edition.
Yeah,
as late as that.
I thought the Duel Lands had it.
No. They have it all. It's tap, colon.
No, I thought specifically the revised ones had it differently. Okay.
There was quite edition. A few. You had to sort of, I suppose, imagine them
eighth
getting through.
Eighth was my first
three.
Guess, because that's the limit, isn't it, for modern.
Yeah.
When they reprinted it all and changed everything, so...
Yeah, so
it'd
be
confusing,
wouldn't it?
That was my initial jump. I'm sure I have some older cards, but obviously not.
Maybe the tap symbol doesn't look the same.
Yeah. All I can remember is the card one and the word saying tap.
Mm.
Anyway.
Anyway, let's get to the important one, which
zero
is question
wall.
Three.
All right. Shortest MTG card name ever with letters in it. Ken, what have you got?
A.
A. Just the letter A. All right, and...
Oh, I've written it.
It. That's not bad. It is two letters long. The card is OW, and there is a version of it.
What does it
Unglued.
Do?
It is an enchantment, costs one swamp. Whenever any creature damages a player, for each owl card in play, that player says owl once or owl deals one damage to him or her.
Awesome. Steve would have known that.
Oh, Steve.
Steve Scannell, he'd have known.
Steve.
That guy.
Good evening, Steve.
Oh, Steve. Yeah.
I love Steve.
So no, he's great.
We end MTG card quiz. It's all tied up.
On Unhinged.
On 0-0. Zero.
I'm so happy I have that foiled goblin mime.
Oh,
so good.
So I recently got a card from Unhinged, which I'm really excited about. For those of you who know me, this will make a lot of sense. For those of you who don't, you'll probably understand shortly. It's called Secret Tech?
Super Secret Tech. Or just Secret Tech.
I can't remember the exact card name, but essentially it reads, all premium cards, which is foils, get +1/+1, and all premium cards cost one less to cast. And ironically, like, this card is actually worth something. Like, its theoretical value is $20. Like, I had to trade real cards to get this,
but I had
to have it in my binder because my binders are full of foils, and I love foils. I have a foil modern deck. I have a foil standard deck. It's great.
Yeah.
But I just had to have this card because it felt like it was made for me.
Fabulous. All right, we'll go away, come back with a bit of a Fate Reforged discussion after we've done this. Topic discussion. You like that theme tune? That was it. Topic discussion.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was to the point.
It was
no music.
Now it was topical.
There you go.
I know exactly what we're doing now.
Now, when I did the topic discussion, I said to Kian, what would you like to talk about in topic discussion? He received a Word document from me with this lovely little agenda running sheet that we've got
here.
Great.
Yeah.
And he sent me back a JPEG image of it with with about a million other Apple files, which I had to press and open until I found something that looked similar. And all zipped. Just it was the most annoying collection of bits and bobs that I've ever received.
Yeah, that's Kian for you, isn't it?
And one of the things that he said...
his decks are like, too.
He's one of the first questions he had was, what's up with Kate Reforged? That's right, Kate Reforged, he'd written.
So, Kate, if you're listening, how are you?
He is a big royal fan. He loves the royals.
Have you been reforged recently?
No, I'm not.
Kate.
Metal.
Kate's are you Kate? Reforged.
Not that I know. Only every other weekend.
Did you
and
know
that's
that,
not?
Did you know the royals are having another baby?
Yes, I'd heard.
She's been reforged. Is that
let's add this to the list of things I don't care about.
Oh.
Rubbish.
That's not nice.
You're like British, aren't you?
British?
Yeah,
you're
British.
I'm a little bit British.
You were born in Britain.
I was not.
Yeah, we're all born.
I was born in Portugal.
Oh, really?
Oh, take that.
But you've lived in Britain.
Yes, at points in my life I've lived in the UK.
Yeah.
You're a little bit British. Do you like your tea?
No, I don't drink tea.
Really?
I don't like
tea. Is that why they sent you to Australia?
Yeah, well, they still deport people. It's just they don't make a big noise about it.
So, you know, you're now a POM, a prisoner of Her Majesty England.
Don't get started on that. I'll just like for my... Oh, no, I can't even go there. Oh, man.
What, Dave?
I would just like to suggest that anytime anyone wants to use the word POM, just substitute it with the word nigger and see how you're going. Because that might be how some English people feel about it, including me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why do you feel so strongly about it?
Oh, here we go. This is topical. Because I immigrated to Australia in about 1983, where racism was like the fun hobby that everybody had.
But it's still like that.
Exactly.
Like,
it is.
When I first moved here, I had an Australian girl trying to convince me that people in England were more racist than people here. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding?
I didn't even know what racism was. I was 11, and I didn't know what racism was. And then when I stepped on the plane. But when I got off the plane, I met my cousin, who introduced me to the concept before I even got back to where we were staying. Anyway, this is dark and dark and meaningful.
So we still haven't found out what's up with Kate.
Yeah, we don't know about Kate. I love Kate.
She
seems lovely.
She's had small doses. But
yeah, you invite her around for dinner. She's all like, you know, eat with this fork first and break your bread and all that sort of stuff. That's a bit of a nuisance, especially if you're...
When there's crumbs everywhere, you know.
Especially, you know, I like to knife and fork my garlic bread when I go get a pizza.
Oh, me too.
I do that. Do you eat a pizza with a knife and fork?
Not if you don't.
I don't. Dave does.
I do.
Really?
Good Games Dave likes to eat pizza with a knife and fork.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. And burgers and stuff. I just don't want to get crap load in my hands.
Seven Land Hand getting the juicy scoops on Dave.
Clark.
Yeah. Why did you feel you had to throw that in here?
Oh, because sometimes he calls me Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should just call
Australia,
you Wild Smith.
It's shorter,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it can do. That's standard.
Anyway, that's our standard roundup. So what?
Biggest cards. This is a small set that we're looking at now with Fate Reforged, and it's had a big impact as far as standard's concerned, which is not what we usually expect, right? How come that's happened?
So, to be honest, I can't really tell you, like, why? Because it's
fascinating.
That's great.
Let me
hey,
finish.
In the break, just ask me why. Why has the small set had such a big impact?
I'm going to say now, I don't know. This is great.
Yeah. All right. Question two.
I'm going to give it a setup of the center.
Oh, great.
Now, what else have you got to say about?
Turn his microphone off.
Come on. 185 cards. Standard. Boom. Take that.
So previously, small sets have just like done nothing. And, you know, a good example is Born of the Gods, came into standard.
Dan's Maze.
Yeah, basically like...
What do you mean? That gave us the Maze's End deck.
Oh my God, Riley, go away.
Yeah.
You know, Born of the Gods is the most...
I've forgotten about that. You know when you've forgotten about something and you're happy?
It's one of those things you kind of zone, try and force it out.
See, when you're not necessarily happy that you've forgotten it, but... When you remember that you've forgotten.
You remember why you forgot it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you realize that there's a little bit of happiness that's just died. And now I've got to wait months before I've forgotten about them. Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But exactly, right? Like, we just listed off two sets that basically added maximum five cards.
Maximum of nothing.
Yeah. And most times the first standard tournament after a small set comes out, nothing really changed. Born of the Gods, good example. Mono Blue won the first major standard tournament, talking about a Star City Open.
Yeah.
This time around, a completely new archetype won the first tournament. Like, an archetype we hadn't seen before. Yeah. It was Creatureless Sultai Control, which was fantastic. It was a really sweet deck. I watched the finals, and I'm like, this deck seems really sweet. It's not my style of deck, but it was amazing.
It was really cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's quite amazing, isn't it? I never really realized that. It's just like, how long were we living with Mono Black for, you know?
Like 12 months.
Too long, frankly.
Way too long.
Yeah.
So
those stupid blue-white control-y decks Aaron always talks about.
Yeah.
Idiot. Hi, Aaron.
We love you.
TM.
MIA Aaron.
Yeah. And typically, you know, you'll only see like 10 cards from a small set see constructed playability in their lifetime, you know, which is, you know, like 2 years.
Hmm.
And already in the top eight of the first tournament, there was 10 cards. In the top 64, there was like 20 or something. I counted and I can't remember the exact number. But like, it was a large number.
And this is entirely based on their power and function rather than just some other nuance in the play style. Or
that's how well they fit in with decks that were there or were nearly there and just needed something to push them back into the light. Like Mono Green disappeared. Like Mono Green Devotion just vanished completely.
Yeah.
And now it's got that Wispwood Elemental. I don't think it plays it, but it probably should. That's a really good card.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And Ugin, obviously.
Team of Sabretooth. So, like, it was so subtle, and you probably picked up on some of my excitement last time we had the Magic podcast when, you know, we were talking about spoilers.
Well, it's terrible. Don't unleash that on Riley. He's sitting on the same side of the table as you.
I have to turn the lights out and put him in a dark
corner. Yeah. But, like, I could feel my excitement building about all these new cards. And
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
you guys are the worst. I started playing with them, and I've been playing with this set for a little over a month now because I was proxying the cards, and it's super enjoyable. Like, all the new decks are so much fun, you know. There's all these cards that just have such a powerful impact, and it's amazing. And props to Wizards because, you know, they're abandoning third sets in blocks very soon because, you know, it made them really hard. But it, you know, all signs so far is that, like, Khans of Tarkir block, they pulled out all the stops. And, you know, it's looking really good. You know, early on in the podcast, I was excited about the story for the third set. And I haven't even seen a single spoiler. You know, like, they've crafted this amazing limited environment, this amazing standard environment. You know, pro players were singing the praises about how last standard was the best standard ever. And some of them have already said this standard is better.
So why not just keep the three sets and work this hard on it every time? And keep the corsets, because I enjoy playing corsets.
Yeah, I like corsets. Yeah. That'd be sad to see them.
Go I know, yeah.
Where else are they going to reprint the rubbish? Yeah,
all the other shit that we keep buying every year.
Oh, weirdos. No. I will miss the corset.
That we picked before, though. Big green-red monsters. He's going to fit. Is he going to keep that alive?
I don't know if we see green-red monsters.
There was a copy in, like, the top 64, and there was a PTQ...
top 64, basically, he's shown up.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
he arrived at the tournament.
All the losers like me have already left.
In an 800-player tournament, to be in the top 64 is, you know, fairly impressive. Mm. And there was a PTQ or a Super IQ or some Star City event that had reasonable prizes. It was like 2 days later. And a Red Green Monsters deck came second. Man. So, like, the deck is there. Doesn't play Ataka. No. Having said that, though... At some point, at standard, in an FNM, yeah. I'm going to try and Xenagod and Ataka someone out of the game for fun.
Right. No, good fun.
Take 24 damage.
Yeah.
Dick.
My opponent will love it.
So in standard, the sieges, the siege cycle, that's got to have some sort of play.
Those cards are so good. Three of them. Two of them were in the top 8. Three of them were in the top 64 first week.
The green ones. The best one. It's had the biggest impact, I think.
Well, the green one was able to create its own archetype around it, which has the most unique effect. But the other ones are more subtle, which I think means they'll show up a little bit more over time.
Yeah, but not as much. Like, the green one shows up as, like, four obviously decks, whereas the other ones, maybe twos.
Yeah, but, like, Outpost Siege for some of the red decks is a straight replacement for Chandra, which is pretty exciting. Like, for a rare to be able to replace a Planeswalker in a standard deck is fairly... That's almost
that's
unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue one has a better passive effect than Thassa, which is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things, and, you know, some of them will require build arounds and stuff like that. And, you know, I've played some standard games with Citadel Siege, the white one, and, you know, that card.
Do you want to name some names? Citadel Siege, what were you using that for?
Yeah, like, that card
that's
is...
the white one.
Yeah,
that's the white one. The blue one, Monastery Siege, isn't it?
So, like, the interesting thing we found about Citadel Siege when I was playing it with some of my testing buddies is if you play it and you're a more controlling-style deck, your opponents immediately need to present more threats on the board, or they just can't kill you. And that is a very powerful thing when your deck has end hostilities. Because you're encouraging them to put more stuff on the board so you can then turn around and go... goodbye, you know, destroy all your things. So, like, even though they will require building around, and the most straightforward two have already, like, top 8 at a tournament, I would not be surprised if four of them were standard playable. I don't think the black one is.
Okay, well, let's go through Monastery Sage, Siege. I was going to make a joke about sages, and I've tripped myself up on it. But anyway, Monastery Siege.
Mode 1... I can't tell you whether it's Dragons or Khans. I can't remember.
Khans is mode one, yeah.
One of the modes is any spell that would target you or a permanent...
That's Dragons.
Okay. I know the two modes off by heart.
Right.
One of the modes is any spell that would target you or any permanents you control costs two more or it's countered. Which, you know, like, suddenly their hero's downfall costs five or whatever. That's a fairly big effect. You know, if I play this on turn three and then turn four Rabble Master...
It's not countered. They just can't cast it.
Ah, they can't cast it.
This is a very, very important difference.
This sounds just like a charm rebranded.
Yeah.
We're going to have a few choices, but let's not use the word charm anymore.
And the other mode essentially allows you to draw two cards a turn, except you discard one during your draw step. So you discard one of the cards in your hand during your draw step. That's really sweet. Like, looting is something that's very powerful and limited, and being able to do it every turn is phenomenal.
Hmm. So what's the black one called then that you were mentioning black one earlier on? What have we got?
Palace
Siege. The Khans mode. At the beginning of your upkeep, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. And for Dragons, at the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. I think this is all right for Commander. People would play it in Commander. But
standard,
we're talking
not
about
so
Standard
much.
Right now. But I don't think it's that good for Standard.
Cool, like, flavor side note for all the sieges. If you have a look at the Trilands from the first set, that's the name associated with. So you have Monastery Siege for Mystic Monastery. You have Outpost Siege for...
Nomad Outpost.
Yeah, like...
Opulent Palace for Palace Siege.
Yeah, so they all line up. And that's just a really cool flavor thing.
And what were you saying about the logo that's on them for the... Oh, is that all the...
So for all the Dragons and Khans cards in this set, and there's only six, I think. So there's five Sieges and Crux of Fate, the Wrath for black. If you have them in foil, their watermark does this really cool thing, which I didn't know you could do on a Magic card. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I have to have all of them, which I've been trying to do. if you hold them up and you actually tilt them left to right, you can actually see the symbol down the bottom, the watermark, changing from Khans to Dragons. And, like, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's like just like those lenticular CD covers that they used to have where you look at one side, you look at angle and the picture changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the collector in me was just like, ah, yes.
How's your collection going? You managed to pick them up?
I've got, like, a few of each, but I want, like, a playset.
Yeah.
Outpost Siege is the red one, three in a mountain for an enchantment. As the rest of them are. As Outpost Siege, Khans, at the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library until end of turn. You may play that card. Dragons, whenever a creature you control leaves the battlefield, Outpost Siege deals one damage to target creature or player. Right.
Well, so, like, this card's really good. If you're playing a controlling strategy and your opponent plays this on turn four and it resolves, you're probably dead. Because,
how do you use the Khans? Oh, sorry, finish that point. Yeah.
Because, if they don't have a board, they're just drawing two cards a turn. And if they have a board, you know, they just name the other mode. Like, if you go turn two, Raise the Alarm, into turn three, Hordling Outburst, into turn four, this, if they wrath your board, they take five. And, you know, you've probably already attacked twice. So, you know, they could be on as little as five life, and you're playing against a red deck. Stoke the Flame says, what up?
What does the Khans thing do, though? At the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library until end of turn.
It does the same thing as Chandra does, the zero. So you exile the top card and then you can play it.
For the rest of the turn.
For the rest of the turn.
So it's just like an extra little zone that card exists in.
I get how it works, but how does that become an advantage, though?
Oh, because you
can just exile to a turn.
Play it. You've drawn another card.
But if you can't afford it, and it's
then it
like
matter,
it
and
disappears,
you're
going to
get another one next turn. So it doesn't matter.
But, like,
if your entire win counts on drawing this one card from your deck and you can't cast it, I think I'm thinking
limited. That's probably what's going on.
No. Even in limited, that is just amazing.
Yeah.
Because you play it on turn four in limited and you're never going to miss a land drop because you're going to be drawing two cards a turn to hit those land drops. And then you'll be able to eventually cast two spells a turn. And you start outpacing your opponents so quickly.
Frontier Siege. What's that one about? That was
great.
You like this one.
Great card.
This card is scary good.
Yeah. The beginning of each of your main phases, add two green to your mana pool. What? Oh, so good.
Which basically means the siege costs one green because you play it first main phase, go to second main phase, and you get two green mana.
Each of your main phases.
Each main phase, so you can...
Save up.
Play a Sylvan Caryatid for free each main phase. And
You can take the two from the first main phase... Do combat phase, come back to your second main phase, cast something for four for free.
No, mana doesn't transition between phases.
In this case, it doesn't stay. Some card, none in
still two mana
for a while.
Free. Who gives a crap? Yeah,
Krufix.
And the dragons. Dragons mode.
Oh, really good with Hornet Queen.
Basically,
really good. that's the only thing it's good with.
Oh, well, whenever we didn't read it though.
Whenever a creature with flying enters the battlefield, you may. Very important, have it fight target creature you don't control.
Right.
So the reason it's really good with Hornet Queen is Hornet Queen puts five death touches into play with flying at the same time.
Oh, really?
It counts itself. Zap
everything.
Oh, you're counting itself too.
Yeah.
But Hornet Queen doesn't put five things into play. Hornet Queen puts four things into play.
But, like, including itself is five. So, like, you get five death touch fights with their board, which is... Basically, play Gwent.
It'd be pretty horrible.
All right, so that's the sieges. So in modern, this is a rumor I've heard. Tassiga, tearing it up in modern, better than Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
How's that?
Side note.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Side note, the card is very good in standard.
I can believe it. But Tamagotchi's dead.
Just walking around the city one day. It's just all over the place.
It was in pink, which is, you know. What's going on there?
So
this is surely going to...
Tasigo does nothing bad. He is so good. He's got Delve, so you can cast him for cheap. And then, like, you can exile all the crap from your graveyard with his Delve. And then, like, you flip over some cards into your graveyard, and you get either, like, removal, like a counterspell, creature back, and that's... All of those are great.
So, one of the reasons why I really like this card in Modern, but don't like it very much in Standard, is because in Standard, you do have to play a lot of mediocre cards. In Modern, you don't. Like, in Modern, every single card you play can be a haymaker. So, you know, when you flip two cards into your library and your opponent has to pick the worst card in your graveyard to give you, it's probably still pretty good. Whereas in Standard, you know, they can do that. And you're like, oh, you know, I'll take this Voyaging Satyr back or whatever. So, like, in Standard, the card is still very good.
Yeah, the value you're getting back in Standard is a lot smaller.
But, like, in Modern, you know, they're like, oh, man, I guess I can either give you this Tamagoyf or this Abrupt Decay or something.
Or
like,
Remand or Thoughtseize.
There's so many high impactful cards that it can be. Also, like, one of the reasons why it's kind of beating out Tamagoyf is you can just shrink your opponent's Tamagoyf by a lot because you delve away all your graveyard.
So Tamagotchi's worth about $8 billion around about now. So does that mean
give or take,
we need to be investing in Tasiga as a
something
to
you
can't anymore. You can't anymore.
He's already maxing out, is he?
He's not maxing out. He's got a huge ceiling.
Yeah. He's going to be going up for a while, I think.
That's what I'm saying. So we stock up on Tasiga now.
If you can find them.
Oh,
that's
sure.
The thing, right? They're sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
same with Ugin. He's gone from everywhere. You can't find him.
Aaron bought quite a few.
I
have a couple of friends that bought a fair few of this guy.
Poor Aaron.
And he was like...
He's expensive for an evening.
$2.50. So he was like $2.50, which is, you know, like, that's pretty expensive for a standard rare.
Yeah.
A week later, he's $10.
Okay.
And in a week, I would not be surprised if he's 20.
I saw Aaron riding around on a new push bike. I imagine that's where he's invested the Tasiga money.
Yeah, if this card is good in the Modern PT next week, it could just be like $40.
Go crazy.
It could get right up there easily.
People are like, oh, this is crazy town. No, it's really not. Like, a rare... Like, think about Brimaz. Brimaz is a card that barely sees any play, has been $25 forever.
Yeah.
Think about Corsair of Kruphix, small set. You know, it was $25 for a long time, and it barely touched Modern. This card is being talked about in Legacy, in Modern, in Standard, and God forbid in Vintage. I know nothing about that format.
So is Fate Reforges ruffled a few feathers, apart from the Dragon's Wing feathers that we've talked about, and got a few banned cards.
The
already.
Dragon with the feathers that we've not talked about actually made a few waves too.
The Dragon with the feathers.
With the feathers.
Eugene.
Yeah. Ugin, who's made a few...
He's rocking
made a
Modern.
Few changes. Yeah.
So you want to talk about his impact in Modern? What's he up to?
He's shown up in Tron a bit. Well, he's in mine.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah, he's as a two of. He's been really good so far when I've managed to stick him to the field.
Doesn't he basically just replace all his dust?
Yeah, pretty
much.
That
can also just win the game.
All his dust, but a bit better.
Yeah. He doesn't replace Khan, so he's not like uber exciting.
No,
but
he won't kill any of your things. He will get rid of all of your opponent's stuff, and then he can bolt them or what they play every turn.
Yeah, three damage.
It's so good.
Yeah. So if you haven't got any creatures that you can kill with three, I might as well just take three out of you just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And it's so close as well because it's a plus. He comes in with 7 loyalty points, and it's plus 2 on your first when he arrives. He's on 9. And the ultimate is -10.
The ridiculous.
The difficult thing is that he costs 8, so you can't play him on turn 3 in Tron, because you only have 7 mana.
I'm so sorry.
But normally, by the time I have Tron assembled, I have at least 8 mana. So.
I thought you could play it on turn 3 if you played like a mana rock on turn 2, which is possible.
No, I don't have any mana rocks. Like Tron.
No, there's like... Some people are talking about it. They're like,
I'm sure there are ways. You could play Darksteel Ingot if you wanted, but... That's turn 3 gone, so why would you?
Whatever.
Crazy days. Yeah. All right, I was banned cards.
So...
Who's not playing?
They banned Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, which everyone kind of saw coming. If you want to know like in depth about the bands, you know, so many pros have written articles about it.
In fact, it got really boring watching people cast Treasure Cruise all the time, and every other deck was just like, why aren't I playing blue?
It was basically like you were either Treasure Cruise or you had a dedicated reason, like you were...
Or you couldn't have Treasure Cruise, like there's no way you could fit it in.
So I'd like to point out, you were talking about cards that are banned from this, from Khans and Fate Reforged. This isn't in Fate Reforged, is it?
No, none of the cards from Fate Reforged have been banned.
Yeah.
But like some high impact, there was three bannings. So
very popular.
Yeah, Treasure Cruise and Khans. Dig Through Time, which... did need to go. They were kind of busted.
Right.
And Birthing Pod, one of the most unpopular bannings in a long time.
They just removed an entire, like, archetype from the whole format. It's just gone. Though, you just play Yisan, Wandering Bard, and it does the same thing, almost.
Or you just play,
something else
without Pod, which is fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, the creatures were all good. You just put more good creatures in place of the four pods you've had to take out.
So... A lot of people were very angry about this, which is completely reasonable because, you know, like, I have a pod deck. Like, I own a pod deck.
I still
have it. It devalued by $200 almost overnight.
You're a legacy pod deck. That's good.
Then legacy it does now is it clears an area of dust on his shelf.
But one of the pros articles I was reading had this really good quote, which, you know, really showed me, I'm really glad they banned it. In a format where Treasure Cruise was legal and was dominating the format, Birthing Pod was the only deck that could stand
Pod
up to it.
Pod was still doing well against it.
Yeah. So if you remove Treasure Cruise, what was going to happen?
Sure.
So, you know...
But I mean, before there was Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, Pod was all over the place. Like, it was just so good.
And now they have Seadrona as well.
Yes. Well, that's what they said... Didn't Wizards say, I read through their thing, they just said they keep printing better and better creatures, that are more and more value, and
Pod just
gets better and better every time more creatures get printed. So.
All right, anything else to say on what Kate has done for the...
Modern is super exciting. I'm so excited for this Pro Tour. Like, the Pro Tour is next week. Shout out to local Perth players, Anthony Lee and Paul Jackson, not P-Jax. They're both going... Oh, shut up. They're both going to this Pro Tour. They were both doing quite extensive testing. Both of them were quite extensively testing pods, so that's a bit awkward. But we do wish both of them the best of luck. You know, I'll be watching live, you know, hoping they do really well.
This is going to be streamed on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully we'll see them both make day two.
When is it?
Next week.
Next week.
So 7 days ago. 7 days away, not ago.
Seven days ago next week.
Yeah, it starts the night of Saturday the 7th. So for Australian people, it'll be Saturday the 7th night. For Americans and Europeans, it'll be during your day on Saturday the 7th.
Cool. And what would the search be? Is that the Singapore one? I thought...
No, that's...
Was this?
This is later. Washington, right?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, GP Washington... PT Washington.
Mm. All right. All right, good stuff. Let's come back. Let's blob and come back with Flavor Text.
Yeah,
Are you looking
text.
Forward to this one, Riley?
Oh, I've got this.
Let's do it.
So good at Flavor Text.
Flavor Text. Flavor Text.
Flavor Text.
Flavor Text.
Flavorful Text.
Flavor Text.
Flavor Text.
You know, it flavor. Works. I read the flavor text. You tell me what the card is quietly. Write it down on a bit of paper.
All right.
And we'll get back to you in a minute. The score so far, check, is 0-0.
We're just building suspense.
Yes.
Coming down to 1 point. We agreed.
Oh, well, perhaps we should say it is a draw at the moment.
Me and Riley agreed that we didn't want to stray outside of BASIC, the computer language. So it's going to be 1-0.
Okay, we're doing a digital scoreboard. That means that someone's going to win 1-0.
I thought I was going to just interpret. I was going to like draw. We should draw the card.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
It's not good for the viewers at home, I suppose. It wouldn't be a problem if there were viewers, listeners at home.
We are the most beautiful podcast in all the interwebs.
Yes, this has been reported.
And no one can prove otherwise.
What all the reviews say.
Yeah.
That's correct. Most of them written by our mothers.
I mean, my mum's not listening to this. She's got better things to do with her time.
Oh! My mum's a regular listener, and she'll want to come after you for that.
That's not what she told Keen, right? Oh.
She normally comes before me. Whoa.
Oh, tea.
Too right. far.
In a fact, I did write this before I knew Riley was coming on. Oh. So, you know. And I wrote, in a further attempt to achieve high score in games... Fate Reforged flavor text.
That's who.
Oh, yeah.
I've not seen that on a card.
That's not the flavor. That's not question one.
What?
Here, this so, is
okay,
question
okay.
one.
Flavor text. I'll explain for Riley and some of our newer listeners. Dave had a tendency to take flavor text from all over Magic. So we're talking cards from like 10 years ago that everyone's like,
but this was because Aaron knew everything about every card ever written, apparently.
Yeah. Mm. So if he ever wants me to get an answer, he has to stick to the last 2 years.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's so limiting.
If you could stick to cards that we've seen today, hence, I could.
Hence the Fate Reforged flavor text segment that we're doing and have been doing for about 10 minutes now. Okay.
Flavor text.
Question one. Greet death with sword in hand. Greet death with sword in hand.
Oh, man.
Flavortext number one.
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. Good stuff. Keep it hidden. Kian cheats. He's got eyes that can rotate. Exactly 180
degrees.
Am I
looking into my brain now?
No, you're looking at Riley's answers. All right. Question one. Greet death with sword in hand. Question two, flavor text. Why would I kill you all? Who, then, would be left to worship with me?
Oh, damn. That's, I remember looking at that card and thinking it was cool.
Who would I kill?
I've read this flavor text and I was like, this card is so flavorful.
Mm.
I'm trying to think what we did last time and I couldn't find it quick enough. But it could have been this card.
Could you read it again?
Why would I kill you all? Who, then, would be left to worship me? I couldn't quite qualify whether we'd already done it on the previous show, so I thought, screw it, I'm going to put it in again.
I don't know how to spell the card, so I just misspelt it.
That's all right. Why would I kill you all? Who then would be left to worship me? That's question two on flavor text.
Bit of an ego, that guy.
Yeah.
Or gal.
And finally, question three. Her hunger knows no limit. Left unchecked, she would feast on all of Tarkir. Spoken by Yasava Dragonclaw. Her hunger knows no limit. Left unchecked, she would feast on all of Tarkir. Yasava Dragonclaw.
Oh, this is great.
Kian's gone for the pen throwdown leg cross combo.
Yeah,
which sort of says that he's pretty confident.
I'm a bit more refined than he is.
Yeah, more of a gentleman. Yeah,
you the tweet English code says people. It all.
Yeah,
fantastic. When you blow your pipe smoke across the room, just try it. Go to one. Okay. I'm smoking a different blend to you.
We couldn't possibly.
All right. Question one, flavor text. Flavor text. Greet death with sword in hand. What do you got, Kian?
It's a Mardu 1-1. I think it's like Mardu Shadow Spear. I don't know its exact name.
Mardu Shadow Spear.
It's a 1-1 with dash for two.
All right. Riley, what have you got?
Yeah, no, I put Alicia, the lady who smiles at death sometimes.
Riley's got it!
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Get wrecked.
All that, get wrecked.
Suck it.
All that bollocks about it's a 1-1 with this and that.
It's 1-1 with
that. It's Alicia who smiles at death. Okay. I'm about to unleash all the Alicia cards on the wife, who has a sister called Alicia.
that's a good commander card, Alicia. Tiny leaders. Show some tiny leaders. Good.
1-0. Question two. Why would I kill you all? Who then would be left to worship me? Leader Riley.
I thought it was the guy with the carpet.
The
one we saw earlier. The guy with the carpet that was on fire.
The Jijin.
Yeah, that guy, that one.
Blue cards typically don't have this kind of flavor text, but...
I just... You know, this set's crazy, you know? It's doing all kinds of wacky things.
Okay. It wasn't on fire, actually. It was a lotus sprouting out of the...
That's not it's, important.
Anyway, okay. I know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it's... I don't actually know the name of the card. It's the 5-3 demon, 3 black-black, that makes your opponent sacrifice down to 2 creatures. I think you used it as my dad in the show title.
But you said you don't know the name of the card.
But it's literally written on the thing...
Archfiend of Depravity? I thought there was like an extra word in the name of the card.
No, the answer is Archfiend of Depravity.
Okay, that counts, right?
It's written in front of him.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think that should count. It's literally on the page he still didn't get it.
I know. He has to say the name of the card. You can't like describe it. It's that black
that
card
one
with the text. And, oh, it's got some flavor text down
it
the
bottom. It also has a power and toughness.
My answer was actually my dad.
Great. Oh, because it's 1-1. This is going down to the wire. This is what we were after. All right.
I'm pretty sure the flavor text gave it away on the last one.
Flavor text.
Yeah.
Her hunger knows no limit. Left unchecked, she would feast on all of Tarkir, spoken by Yasava Dragonclaw. Yeah. Have you both got it?
We both got that same answer.
Do you want to chorus it out? Who is it?
Ataka. The world. Gorger.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Bang on. The card we actually got in the pack earlier on. So therefore, it is 2-2. We have a tied...
Is this
beautiful.
No, yes. No. Yes. No. This is victory.
What do we win?
Shared victory.
What do we get?
The handshake of Kian.
Oh, yes. Stop shit.
Oh. Well played, everyone. That was good.
That was good. Well, flavor text. Thank you for putting that together. That was fun.
All right. We're off and we'll be back with Neats and Twos. Neats and Twos.
Flavor text.
Yeah, well, that was good, though, wasn't it? Flavor text.
Topic discussion.
Neats and Twos. Neats and Twos, everyone. All right, we've got the Meat Axe who contributed a question a few weeks ago, which was about, I think Time already answered the Meat Axe question. It was about the manifested morphs and normal morphs getting all mixed up. Yeah. But Wizards saw this coming and released a manifest morph token.
I don't like it. It's like you're drafting and you've got morphs and manifests and now you need like Khans and Dragons tokens for your sieges as well as all of the dice and stuff.
You need a little token on it, couldn't you?
I mean,
can I point out this can all be solved by what every good Magic player should do?
Oh God, it's not memory again, is it?
No.
It's having a pad of paper you can
rip up. Having a pad of paper and a pen, which you should bring to every match so you can report yourself and your opponent's life total and just write Khans or Dragons or manifest or morph, rip it off and put it on.
You don't have to tidy the place up afterwards and find loads of bits of paper with like Khans written on it everywhere. So
to be fair, the manifest and morph tokens look sweet.
But you have to have them. That's the thing as well.
I mean,
drafting.
And they're different things. Like, you're not.
Well, actually, you don't need both. You only need one. Because if you have all morph tokens, then anything that's face down that isn't a morph is.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So, like.
But is the rule with manifest creatures, same with morph, you have to reveal them or not because they're not creatures? So
you do have to reveal them.
Really? Why?
Because it's the same rule.
But I mean, I understand with morphs because you have to prove that it's a morph creature.
Yep.
But a manifest could be any card. It doesn't matter what it is. It's face down.
I completely agree with you. I think the rule is really stupid because inherently a manifest can be anything. So why are you revealing it?
Yeah.
But you have to reveal it because
to prove that morph, it's a card.
No, morph and manifest, they're just the same thing.
Okay. I thought Riley had just broken all of Magic then for a second.
Oh, that's some of my decks.
Don't play Commander against this guy. Unless you want epic fun.
I have mentioned this
before,
Riley.
Unless you want to have fun, don't play Commander. Okay. Yeah.
Kian
broke the entire drafting experience in Khans of Tarkir just by one statement, which was you have to remember what your morph cards are. So don't keep turning them over to check. At that point in time, I was out. Because I thought, there's no way I'm going to... Because any time I rock up to play Magic, I'm already knackered.
I'm barely staying awake,
and I'm just like, I can't remember anything.
I mean, you're more than welcome to check every game,
but every single time. I appreciate your point, which was there'll be tells. You'll give something away at some point in time.
You just want to be play mono red.
Even if you just get sick of looking, and you just write the initials of the card on one side, and he's just reading it off the pad that he just recommended that we use. See how he's working on us now.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's games within games, you know?
Yeah.
Having shorthand is not unuseful for Magic.
But Miax got back to us again, didn't he, after we posted this morning on... We tweeted. What did he say? What was our tweet? Anyway, something about...
We tweet?
We did a tweet.
Are we on Twitter?
Yeah, yeah, of course we are.
Oh, sorry.
At he's seven just, land hand.
I didn't realize it was
with a number. At seven, the number, land hand.
We just asked, what were your favorite cards from the new set, or what's got you really excited?
What have the Medaks got to contribute for the...
Tassiga, the Banana King.
Oh.
And I think we've already discussed that card quite a lot, and he's very good.
He's all right.
Yeah. He is very good.
He does stuff, and he costs some
things. Have a look at the art? I think there might actually be a banana in there.
Is that what he's referencing?
Maybe. Yeah, no, like, I'm pretty... Like, someone mentioned it to me before, so for two distinct different people to mention it, there has to be something to it.
Maybe the Medax is invested in a bunch of them, and we can...
I hope so. He can buy me dinner.
It starts with T key and it's alphabetical.
I'm dyslexic. Go away.
I guess what you have to do
is... Oh, yeah. There's bananas in the artwork.
Really?
Yeah. He's just chilling next to bananas.
He's definitely ruling those bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think he's just like...
I think they got the art and they're like, we need something in the foreground.
Like, just to make him look like he's regal like and a bit of a dickhead.
A bit of colour to come up in the foil. You know? Yeah.
I hope we haven't blown all of our gnarly art combo before Madison rocks up, because that we'd definitely have to talk about the bananas.
Maddie, I mean, you can bring whole new art stuff that we haven't even noticed.
Grapes as well.
Yeah, I was just, but there's some plums at the base of that banana. I thought, hang on a minute.
There's something going
there's
on
a
here.
Pear, it looks like this is straight out of the Fat Pack Player's Guide.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a strawberry and a pear at the base of a banana and some pubic hair grapes.
Well, he cares about his health. He's got his fruit stuff around.
I reckon he's just
know.
Fucking around making little silly models. It's going, look what I just did. It's like drawing a cock and balls on a wall, but I did it with fruit. I'm the golden fang, by
and
the way.
And you all have to laugh because I... will kill you.
Oh, is he referring to a banana? A golden fang?
Yeah.
We figured it out.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. See, Riley, nice to join us. All right, so, yeah, Medax has got it. He's probably got about 20 of those that he'll spill beer on before the end of the month. And,
yeah,
and post that to the Seven Land Hand page on Facebook. So look forward to that.
Mm. So,
And there's some other twat...
Aaron tweeted... Welcome, I assume he meant welcoming or...
Welcome.
Hello.
Well, he said welcome change to draft format. So I assume welcoming the change to draft format or something along those lines.
It is a welcome change.
But he's just going to draft cheap creatures that are aggressive.
No, that's what he's saying.
That's all he ever drafts.
What he's enjoying in this set, I believe he's saying, is it's a welcome change to the draft format.
Yeah. It's a sweet new thing and... It's pretty dope.
And then he says something about loving collagen, which makes me think that when he's around on his push bike, his joints are a bit knackered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one's collagen?
Collagen, the one he wrote on the... you've got it in front of you on your phone.
On the Facebook thing, is
he
it?
He says he loves collagen.
Collagen.
Yeah, but who's Collagen?
Collagen is the Dirty Harry character from that Clint Eastwood plays Dirty Harry.
Is he? Dirty Harry Collagen?
Callahan.
Callahan.
Yeah, close enough.
It's pretty close. That's what Aaron meant.
I'm running out of puns to keep this alive. Which card is he talking about, Kian?
It's taking a really long time to find this card.
He's using the alphabet again.
Oh, shit.
the Storm's Fury, right. Feed it out.
Well, that's not going to help.
Don't destroy the book. What does it do?
It is a 5-mana 4/5 with the ability whenever a dragon you control attacks, give each creature you control +1/+0, and it also has dash 4/5.
Yes, I was looking at that for a commander. I don't think he'd be a very good commander, but the fact that you could just dash him in and then he's out of the way safe sounds really good to me.
I like to think that this card's bollocks because it's a dragon with feathers and and it looks like he's got four wings.
Yeah.
So they're taking the piss there,
aren't
they?
Because if by next week we could have pictures of dragons with feathers for David, that would be fantastic.
Fucking hell,
as many as you can get us.
Uji board, south of Soul of Winter, feathers. He's got like eagle wing feathers. This is disgraceful. All right. I think the only thing that we can do at this time, since the feather thing's got to me... Oh, you got anything to say about Callahan? Dirty Harry?
Oh, that card is sweet.
Great
card. That card is so dirty.
Good film, isn't it, Riley?
Really. I love
He's still talking
Clint
about magic
Eastwood.
Cards.
Nah, it's awesome. That musical he did was great.
Guess what?
What?
Somebody has been sitting in the corner. A philosophy corner. You don't know much about this, do you?
No, I've not.
We have a seven.
Oh gods!
We have a seven land hand philosophical mind. Normally,
right.
I write an intro for him, but I forgot because it wasn't until tonight. I've been pestering him whilst we've been podding, saying we need some philosophy from you, Axel. And apparently, his initial response was, "Ah fuck, sorry man, I've been in bed asleep, vomiting most of the day, To which I responded, we need some philosophy.
Well, you respond, so you've had lots of time to think of something for our segment, yeah. Then.
So that might have twisted his philosophy a little bit. Now, usually this is an either-or situation.
Right.
He poses this question that he's been musing on for quite some time. Obviously, he's been lying in bed musing about this. And you guys respond which one you'd prefer.
Sure.
Okay? You're listening, Ken. His question for today. Would you rather eat a loved one's vomit or shit yourself during sex? Now, he's really reached the bottom of the barrel for that one, but I kind of like it. It has a charm. That will be on the Facebook page, by the way. Riley, how are you feeling about that?
Are we going to poll the listeners over the week and get back with it?
Oh. Now, he doesn't say the volume of vomit. I'd like to find it.
Or the volume of shit.
It might be one small cube of carrot. And so we might have to agree on terms here. You might just have to pop a bit of, you know, cube of carrot, half chewed. Or
see, I think I don't do well with vomit. So me seeing someone vomit normally makes me get very close to or vomit.
Yes.
So I feel like that would just be bad.
But you could do that by yourself, couldn't you? You could go into a room.
I could just make myself vomit.
No, you could go into a room. There's a bucket of vomit. Get a spoon out. Have a bit of a sip. Throw up everywhere. Job's done.
Job's done.
Or,
yeah, or you can shit yourself
merrily all over
clean it up.
Well, so the way I reason this out is like...
Are you imagining you having sex alone?
And what if you're having sex in the bathroom? Or like somewhere with a tiled floor? Like, you know,
you're actually sitting on the bog.
Yeah.
And it just goes straight down. Flush.
We've all done it.
You press flush. She's like, what was that? I go, oh, I just flushed.
I accidentally hit the lever with my elbow, darling. No,
I'm efficient. Don't worry about it. What's your take on this?
I'm definitely going
philosophy.
For the like shit myself while having sex.
I would, because, I would like, pick the
no
shit
way.
Myself.
No way.
So like, if I'm dating someone or I'm, you know, in a relationship with someone,
that's the test. You know, if you can shit yourself while you're having sex with them and they don't run away and leave,
well, no,
you
don't love me enough to let me shit on you.
But like.
Well,
like,
some people are into it. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
Shit is a bodily thing. Everyone does
it's not a very nice bodily thing.
No.
We have a whole,
we named someone's
we have
vomit.
A whole room that you go into so that no one has to be around you while you're doing it.
We named it shit for a start.
But like, eating someone's vomit is not something that's in any way reasonable. And, you know...
Well, I don't think the name shit came first.
They ate that.
Who?
The person...
Well,
before
it was vomit, it was like... It was dinner. Wasn't
it?
It was
dinner.
It was probably tasted quite nice.
Yeah,
well, it depends.
And what's
who
to say
it
still doesn't? Just your lovely partner's half digested it for you. What a lovely thing to have
half
done.
The work is done.
Are we birds now? Like, is that like are we birds?
Well, it's like a lazy person's meal to digest. You can just take the afternoon off. Normally I'd be burning a ton of energy eating this
digesting
meal,
digesting all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you.
I drank a bucket of your vomit earlier on. I'm loaded with energy.
Huh.
No. So you two are both going for shitting yourself.
We would much rather shit ourselves, yes.
I'm hoping it's not like pure liquid diarrhea, but, you know.
Oh, I'd like it to be fairly easy to clean up, frankly.
Well, Riley usually has the plastic sheets down and plenty of baby oil squirt around, so
I'd
probably just slide straight off into the bed.
Yeah, it's there's people for that sort of thing.
Or you just up a tree.
Up a tree?
Crap. All right, well, I think we've fed the listeners enough. So they've got a pretty good idea of what they might like to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so for anyone who gets their questions or comments or anything read out, except for Aaron, you'll get a Hyper Magic Nerd sent to you. A Hyper Magic Nerd badge, I should say, not a Hyper Magic Nerd sent to you. Just open
one of
mail.
Us will visit you.
Riley's jammed into your postbox.
Help.
Yeah, no, just the badge. Just the badge.
Oh, okay.
All right, so moving on to housekeeping. Next fortnight on Seven Land Hand, we've got Matt McHale returning of Clan McHale. He's hosting this epic Seven Land Hand experiment that we did the other night, where we all got together. It was 6 of us and Matt in the same room. More mics than Mike and the Mechanics. I don't know. How many mics did they have?
One, probably.
One. Well, we had more than that.
Oh,
we had about 6 or 7 of us.
Yeah, we sat down and we recorded a campaign, a Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Sweet.
And it was proper brilliant. Awesome. I haven't RPG'd in ages. And
I wish I'd been able to make it. It sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah, D&D is amazing.
We invited Riley and he thought he had to comment on Dungeons & Dragons. And it was only after the fact I told you you just had to play.
Yeah, I'd love to play it with you guys.
Yeah, why don't you invite me, Dave?
Come and talk about Dungeons & Dragons.
I love Dungeons & Dragons.
We had a lovely crowd. We could do it again one day.
You should make it a spectator thing.
Don't know how it's going to go over as a pod because it's about 4 hours long.
I'd listen to it. I'd listen to it at work. Yeah, it'd be great.
But I think what the whole goal of it was just to give people a bit of an idea about the pacing of it, what happens, how the DM interacts with the people that are playing, and we had a great time doing it. So even if it ends up sounding just drab, we had a brilliant time. And afterwards, it was like, this is great. We should do it more often. Hmm. So I'll still be editing that for the next 8 weeks. No, I lie. It'll be out on the 14th of February. Ooh. Our Valentine's Day gift to you.
Well, I know what I'll be doing. Me and my girlfriend listening to the podcast.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Cancel that dinner reservation.
Are we going out tonight, Riley?
Nah.
Have you got me chocolates and flowers?
Maybe.
Forget about it. We'll listen to Seven Land Hand. Yep. 4 hours of Dungeons & Dragons. Boom.
She'll understand.
She'll remember that.
On the way out. Yeah. She would remember it.
As she washes the shit off her legs. And you're just standing there with a bucket of her vomit going,
I wish I'd just eaten the vomit.
Yeah.
No, not even.
very hard negotiations have been going on about getting Madison back on board, and she's going to come back on the, not the next MTG podcast, but the one after that. So that's still 2 months away.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the art that was in Fate Reforged, because it's, I think, proper brilliant, except for some of the shit that Kev Walker managed to squeeze in there still. That still needs to be burnt immediately. I just don't believe that he still gets a gig. And she's also going to do more news, the stupid news, about stupid Star Wars Episode 7.
Awesome.
We can have a great fight about that, because I'm so excited.
No. It's expectations versus what's going to arrive.
Oh, right.
My expectations are very high, and I expect them to be met.
No. Oh,
my expectations are like, let's have explosions and space stuff and Jedi.
Oh, have you heard about... All right. I was listening to our friends on the Ice Cream Social or Paul Mattingly's Geek Shock pod, and they were saying that there is the machete cut. Have you heard about this? I'm sure it's called machete cut. Where you this is the correct order to watch Star Wars movies now. You watch Episode 4, Episode 5, then you go to Episode 2 and 3, then Return of the Jedi. Apparently, it makes way more sense.
And you just skip number 1.
Which includes skipping Jar Jar.
And the Phantom Menace,
So that apparently cures Star Wars.
So, 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
4, 5, 2, 3, 6, yeah.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Apparently, it's the fix. But in the last few weeks, I've discovered that there was a Star Wars Christmas special in 1977-78.
Wow, really?
Go look it up.
I'm going to.
It definitely puts... If you say there's 3 Star Wars movies that are good and 3 Star Wars movies that are shit, and that's all we've got, and then you add the Christmas special into
Throws
it...
Throws it all off.
We've got 4 shit, 3 good. It makes Star Wars shit.
Well, don't colour it for us. Maybe, I'm sure Kian will like it. It's got Jedis and space stuff in it, so he's going to be all over it.
I would like to point out that as the Phantom... The Phantom Menace being the first Star Wars movie I ever saw, and I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was like 6 years old. I loved it. I loved it to pieces. Now,
it's pretty.
I have rewatched it recently.
And you were utterly confused, weren't you, by is the story?
Like, you hated it.
Well, so it's really unfair, right? Because if Star Wars The Phantom Menace was just a standalone movie, people would be like, this is okay. It's not the best thing ever. I probably wouldn't watch it again, but it's not the worst. But because it has to be compared to the old Star Wars trilogy, which are like... some of the best movies ever. It's
no,
they're not,
because the beginning of The Phantom Menace is so baffling. Well, most of it, there's so many baffling elements to it. The whole trade embargo and it's just like, what's going on? It doesn't make sense.
Why is this happening? And then suddenly you're asked to accept all this other stuff that's just based on the start,
which
have
doesn't
no
make
basis
sense.
For. Yeah.
And things like, they're when they try to gas the Jedis. But the smoke comes in. And it's apparent. Why don't you just do there's plenty of poisonous gases that you can just pump
just
into
clear.
The room. No, yeah. Clear, odorless, and boom, you're dead. That's it. But no, hang on.
They're all like flying through space. You thought I'd be clever enough to know that kind of thing.
Or when those battle droids arrive and they just piss off at light speed, running. But then later on, you know when the guy always remember his forget his name, Liam Neeson. What's his proper name?
That's Mace Windu.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon
Jinn.
All right.
Jeez. That's embarrassing.
Get wrecked.
Yeah. Well.
So
Obi-Wan.
He's chasing Qui-Gon, who's fighting with Darth Maul. He's trying to catch up, but he keeps getting blocked off by these laser door things, and he's just skipping along at a casual rate. Earlier on in the movie, he was belting along at light speed, just running on his legs. How come he doesn't give a shit about Qui-Gon? That's what it's all about.
I think he's probably tired. Like, he doesn't really stop through that film, does he? He's pretty much all go.
It's like,
aside from when he's trying to pick up Anakin, he's...
Don't make this sound creepy.
It was creepy,
though. Yeah, true.
This is all light brushing over. It was bollocks.
Yeah.
I'm easily sold by something that looks pretty. I'll watch a movie and I'll go, oh, this is beautiful, fantastic. Walk out there going, what a great thing. I just watched.
Pacific Rim.
But then, like, in the following moments or when I go and watch it again, I'm looking for story.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse.
Or just afterwards when you think about it, actually, it wasn't good.
when you realize, I'm actually confused about why that all happened. The robots look good. The planets look fantastic.
It undoubtedly looked pretty, but that's it.
And you go through a planet's core, what would you find? Water?
Fish.
Yeah.
Big fish.
We'll just swim through the middle of the core of the planet. That can happen.
Because that's perfectly reasonable.
Did that happen?
When they're on Naboo, it had been overrun by guys, and they were trying to make it through to the city from the
Gungan other side of the planet.
But you have to go through the planet's core.
You have to go through the planet's core, which is full of ocean. I don't remember that.
And dove through the planet's core.
They didn't dive through the core, did they?
Yes, they were told to.
It was all ocean. It was just a submarine they took from one edge of the planet to the other.
That's so dumb.
I know.
Yeah, see?
It is dumb.
It's all those things that when you know.
You said it was a
good
film.
Maybe I missed some things.
There are facts like that that just amass one after the other. Yeah, and eventually you realise that the whole thing...
I think that happens in every film, though. There's always things that make you question it a bit. But it just has to reach a critical mass of questions.
And then you're oh my God.
Anything above that, this film is terrible. Below that, you can kind of work with it.
That is known as the Prometheus factor.
Jesus, that film. We'll save it. That's a whole week.
A whole week of complaining week. That movie.
Where are you guys on the Star Wars animated TV series?
Now, I haven't seen The Clone Wars enough. I've seen a bit of it here and there, and I've always thought, go and watch it with my son.
I've heard good things, but it's never been something I've had the time to sit down and watch, or really the inclination to sit down and watch.
Okay. Because there's two of them now. There's the Clone Wars and Rebels.
I feel like there are things I would rather watch, though. I understand. I'm sure it's fine, but
it's really good. If you're sick for a couple of days or whatever, I highly recommend it. They're both.
Good times. Yeah, I know what you mean. When you've got excess time,
because we're all busy people. We all love magic and X other things.
Yeah.
It's really solid. It suffers from the animated TV show problem in that no one can really die. So if someone dies, it's kind of off screen and not mentioned or whatever.
One episode after the other. Oh, you mean they can't have the blood and guts of... Dying in Star Wars is pretty vanilla anyway.
Yeah,
you get hit by some light and you fall over. And there's no...
Or your ship explodes. Or you just disintegrate if you're Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Let me run this by.
It, also out there, it's going to happen. Star Trek. Star Trek #3.
Yeah.
Been referred to as a reboot.
Oh.
You know what the execs have said? Would like it to be more like Guardians of the Galaxy.
No! What? No!
Don't they know how to break things?
That's dreadful.
So, I mean,
Guardians of the Galaxy, it was great.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It was fantastic film.
Love that.
But Star Trek is a very different thing.
Very different. Absolutely. You've got... Yes?
I really enjoyed the Star Trek films.
Which ones?
The first and the second one. They were both...
Were first and so second actual
about
ones? Or
Wrath
the
of Khan,
recent ones?
The Star recent Trek. Ones.
Oh, yeah. We're talking Kean era.
We're talking young man.
I am way younger than both of you. And that's okay. I'm 20, you're 50.
Nearly.
I've watched a bunch of the old Star Trek stuff, and I get that they're vastly different. because they are.
Yeah.
But I think you can appreciate them for something else. You know, they're Star Trek for the mainstream. And they were both pretty good movies. And Benedict Cumberbatch in the second one, he was fantastic.
Benedict Cumberbatch is great all the time. To be fair, I never really liked the original series Star Trek stuff. I never liked those actors or characters, you know, well, the characters.
Which Star Trek? Which
the original, one are we talking about? Original Star Trek.
First, early, yeah. Early...
Next Generation came
cardboard.
Out.
Yeah.
Lost my shit over the right. Next Generation. Loved that. And then sort of faded out when it just got into
a factory. How about Enterprise?
Factory. No,
you
I
like
didn't,
Enterprise?
Because I'm like, I'm like huge on Voyager.
No.
What's Voyager? Yeah, yeah.
Enterprise, like, chronologically in the Star Trek one, is before all of the other ones. But
oh, really?
Yeah, it's set before the Starship Enterprise is the Starship Enterprise, really.
Is it any good?
I liked it. I thought it had the best theme tune.
Oh, there we go. How many series have they already knocked it on the head, have they?
Oh, it's gone. It's gone. It's been and gone. It's just really... Yeah.
Did no one follow it?
Oh, no.
It was just one small hobbit-like man.
It ran its course, and they got to the final episode, and then they tied it into all the other Star Trek episodes, and that was it.
Oh, good. Into the original series.
Good.
Yeah.
TV series that end when meant to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good.
Unlike Walking Dead. We'll milk that for as long as we can. Oh, I'm sick of
there's
that.
There's so many. There's too many shows like that.
Stargate's a good example.
Hey, guys,
that
we're doing a podcast here.
And X-Files. X-Files just kept going. Like, Mulder left.
Hey, you know what's coming back? X-Files.
No.
Yeah.
Never watched it.
Is it Mulder and Scully again?
I think it's them two. I think it's them two again.
David Duchovny and what's her name?
After,
they started with a G.
Gillian Anderson. Yeah. She's
in Hannibal.
She's in Hannibal with a frozen face.
Yes, and blonde.
Yeah. And Duchovny's probably finished his... shagging his way through California.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what they've been doing. Like getting Botox and shagging your way through Californication.
The worst way to live.
Yeah. I'll play David.
Quite
Duchovny
the outro.
Oh, you've not even started that, Kieran.
The outro hasn't started yet. Do you want to do the outro? Oh, it's Blob. Let's
Blob. This is the outro.
No.
Blob will do an outro.
Oh. Yeah, we'll do an outro.
This is Kian DeVries Turnell reporting for the Seven Land Hand outro. It's a very exciting segment. Lots of quality things are being discussed here.
Flavor text.
Yeah, well, why isn't the Fate Reforged picture on a card?
Yeah.
Ah,
Kian was so angry about that a second ago.
He was.
Threw
his
we've put the room
the
back together.
I'm going to say some thank yous, then I'm going to be angry, and then it's time for a story.
Oh.
Everyone ready?
Yeah, let's pause.
What kind of story?
Thanks to Riley.
Oh.
He came in. Very late in the day. He was unaware he was going to be starring in this great adventure of a podcast.
Thanks,
I feel like I've made it, really. It's always been a dream of mine.
Oh.
If there's just two of us, it's awkward.
Yeah, well,
it's just
especially
a big,
if one of those two is Kian.
It's just a big cock contest, and I always win.
There's more silent bits when you're speaking.
Yeah,
Oh, you can just edit me out later. It'd be fine.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know, we really do wish Paul Jackson and Anthony... Lee Luck in Washington. You know, PJax, if he comes in the top 64, he will be a silver pro, you know, and Australia has had silver pros before, but not for a while. And it means he'll go to another pro tour this year, which is very exciting for him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome.
He won a GP, so now if he top 64
that's great.
And if he top 32s, he'll qualify for two pro tours. Like, it's really exciting, and it's a real possibility for him because he is a fantastic player.
Yeah. Now, he's a store-sponsored player at Good Games, right?
Yeah.
Where's store-sponsored player Ash Webster going?
Oh, yeah. Where's what happened there?
Modern is not his particular format, and,
That's not how you described it off mic.
That's not what you said
a
few minutes ago.
Earlier?
I thought you said he was shit, and you say he was rubbish.
No, I didn't. This is my outro, guys.
Okay.
Shut up.
Oh, why aren't you going, Kian?
It's my life
Same
goal,
reason
Riley.
Ash isn't going.
I'm not good enough.
Same reason we're not going.
Well, you just have to win a Pro Tour. PCQ. How hard could it be, really?
They don't exist anymore.
PCQs?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're dead.
Well, then why is no one going?
What?
No, it's
why
a, they've got
is it, points?
Regional.
It's,
oh, it's a regional.
You now have to qualify in like a local PGQ to then go to a regional PGQ. Yeah, but it's like a two-step.
So what you meant to say is instead of there are no PCQs, there are now twice as many PCQs. You have to do it twice.
Yes, you have to win twice.
PPTQs.
Yes.
PCQs.
Anyway, Riley, love you.
Don't worry, most of that can be edited out, I think.
That's pretty good.
I'd just like to add,
12th of May, 1948, Handsworth, Birmingham, England. Who was born then?
Dave Wildsmith. 1948.
12th of May, 1948, in Handsworth, Birmingham, England.
Dave Wildsmith.
I think it might be my dad's birthday.
No, it was Steve Winwood.
More than one person can be born on any one day.
Oh, you got me there.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
What does Steve Winwood do?
Good question.